The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? We made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Judge, off in here, I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Driving!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were cellmates together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, coming off a huge win against the first place Detroit Lions, not anymore. What? And getting ready for the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay this Sunday, 4:25 game on CBS?
Now I'm on.
Or is it a Fox game? Coming up.
This week would be a CBS game.
I don't know if they did one of those network flex things.
No. Not that I'm aware of.
All right.
Do you know that voice, Paul? That's the guy that was on the Fox pregame show.
Yeah.
Saying how bad the Patriots are.
Out of context.
I still haven't heard it. Anybody getting a lot of static?
I'm not.
No. Headphones?
No.
At home, yes.
Yeah, that was something. Listening to the Brady and Randy Moss interview, and I hear my voice.
You and John Dennis kicking ass.
Trey Brady, fire Belichick. They can take that out of context again if they want. I'd love to know why they were coming to Patriots.com for sound about that subject.
They have to listen. That's what we're all, right?
I guess they do listen.
What we're left with.
See, that's the thing. We are everybody's guilty pleasure.
Yep.
They listen, but
why
don't
do you
admit
to feel
it.
Guilty about it?
Well, they have to. Well, because they can't admit. Oh, a podcast.
Right. I'm listening to Patriots.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
not real radio.
Right.
But they listen.
I think someone tried to make you look bad, Freddie.
I would
try to get to the bottom of it. I think someone tried to set you
well,
up.
Well, the thing about it is whoever took it obviously knew it was out of context. Because probably whatever preceded or was right after that, you know, set it up. So obviously I was talking about what people were saying, but – yeah, Paul, I mean, somebody was either, just lazy, I think. Oh, here it is. Let's just cut it up. I think it was just laziness.
I think there's a chance you were targeted.
You think
somebody
so?
Within this organization may have targeted you, tried to throw you under the bus.
That's how I feel about
you
it.
You think so?
I think there's a chance it was offered up. As much as I'd like to think that everybody listens.
You should hear what they say here on our own station.
Right.
Never mind outside.
Well, yeah, but there's enough things that could choose in context. Why choose something
not for
out
you.
Of context?
Maybe they liked your pipes and they wanted you.
Now, did you get to hear it?
Yeah, I did. I heard it the first time it aired on TV.
Were Andy and I involved at all?
You were.
I was.
Yeah.
Because I haven't heard it, and people keep sending links.
And
that
there was
don't
a voice in between
in
that I thought was John Rook, but it turns out it was John Dennis.
Right.
John Dennis.
I can see why I wasn't involved. I don't say anything negative about the
you
team.
Were
they would never
some,
find anything.
Just like, you know,
well, I could
part
see
of the
on this particular topic, I could see that you wouldn't have anything to say. Brady.
In 5 years, I'll be a part of the special.
No. 5 years after he's no longer effective in any way.
Anyway, that's just minor compared to the thrashing the Patriots put on the best defense in the league Sunday. And, you know, is it time to now just say just the Patriots just better than everybody? Or
I've been ready to say
that for a couple of weeks. That much better, though.
After the Denver game, I sort of changed my opinion on the ceiling.
I mean, if they go into Green Bay and win by 14, 20 points again, that's unbelievable. I would have to then say this is the most balanced team we've ever seen.
Oh, I won't.
I will. I will say that.
I don't think it's
the most balanced team we've seen in a long time. I
thought you were going to say in the league.
No. 2004 arguably is the best team we've seen, right?
Yeah.
Is that what, would you say this offense is better than that offense?
No, just different.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I think it's better.
Yeah, a lot. I mean, they score more. So if you want to, if you could say yes.
Well, that's kind of the point.
Yeah. I mean, I think they didn't score by design. I think they just chewed the clock and grinded everybody to a pulp, and that was when they would get a 3-0 lead in the first quarter, and I said,
over.
That's game.
Well, no, you're right.
Because offensively, they were never going to make any missteps. They were never going to turn the ball over.
Right. Yep.
They were never going to do anything wrong.
Yep.
And when they needed points, they would get them every time.
But
and defensively, you couldn't move the ball.
But look at the rosters from offense.
Yeah, I think they were better in 04.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they had Corey Dillon?
Just everything. Better offensive line. I mean, Gronk they didn't have, obviously.
Right.
But they had two, although Watson really didn't play because Watson was hurt that year. But they, you know, Gronk is the X factor, not to play Andy's side of the street here. They didn't have anybody like Gronk.
Yeah, I think
there isn't anybody that exists like
Gronk. No one ever has, Paul.
I think aside from Corey Dillon, this is a better offense than 04.
Yeah, I think that defense was better.
Light years.
Don't raise those eyebrows and furrow that brow at me just because they had one good game against a team that doesn't score touchdowns.
Light years better.
One
Jesus.
Good game. One good game.
This was their best game. Brandon Browner, in my opinion, this was by far his best game. That was part of what brought this together. But let's not pretend they shut down the greatest show on turf.
So they've had one good game in defense. So
I can't believe you're willing to kick that 0-4 team and that defense to the curb quickly.
This doesn't have to turn into a conversation.
No, it doesn't.
I think 0-4 stinks.
I said that I thought the 0-4 defense was a lot better, and he looked over his fake glasses that he doesn't have and furrowed his brow down on me.
A lot better. I think this defense is as versatile.
Are you kidding me?
I think this defense can beat you in a lot of different ways.
All right, well, just
name three.
We talked about some of the personnel.
That's my new thing, by the way. Anytime somebody says something about basketball, if you say name three, no one ever can. They often have one or two. They never have three.
Paul's
getting mad.
It's starting to look that way.
I don't know. You look like
it's starting to look that. I mean, if they
why? Because they had one good game against a team that doesn't score.
I think. You don't think the defense against Denver was good?
Has been good.
Colts?
Has been good.
Jeez.
But it hasn't been 0-4 good.
What do you take?
Well, I mean, you're trying to convince me this is the best I've ever seen.
I said.
I'm not allowed to say I saw a Super Bowl team that was better?
I started this out by saying.
What is wrong with you? I
started this out by saying if they go into Green Bay and shut them down, I'm going to have to start thinking this might be the best team we've seen.
Yeah.
All around.
I will have a much different view if they shut down Green Bay.
And that's how I started this out. That's what
but
I said.
But I'm not all giddy about what they did to the Lions.
It was
their best performance. It was impressive. But I'm not 0-4 defense giddy. I'm just not.
Okay.
I'm not willing to say, to just disregard that team, which I think Paul was right.
It's not using 0-4 as an example is because they were so great, you dummy.
Yes, but you're disregarding them in the middle of November, you
dummy. Again, using
disregard. I love
disregard.
When he says I'm the one who brings the fights down into the mud. And he called me a dummy.
Right, because you put words in people. Who's disregarding 0-4? I'm putting them in high regard.
No, you're putting a regular season team that just beat an average offense ahead of a defense that dominated all the way through the postseason.
Can we talk about
it
a little bit?
Right.
Like, you mentioned offensively that they were better now. And I think there's a good argument for that. I personally think there was just a different kind of offense, and I would take the 0-4 offense because I think they could throw the ball very effectively, too. They just chose not to. I think when they had to, they showed that they could throw the ball, but that's more of a subjective thing. Objectively, you're probably right. They probably have better personnel because of Gronk. Now, defensively, it's not even a contest. You're talking about comparing guys like Jamie Collins and Akeem Ayers to Willie McGinnis and Mike Vrabel and Richard Seymour.
I think Hightower's as good as McGinnis.
First of all, they don't play the same position.
I know.
He was supposed to play the position that McGinnis played. Okay. He doesn't. Now he's a middle linebacker.
You know, you talk about versatility with those six linebackers that they had.
Is that much below Vrabel?
All right, if we can't talk about it, then let's just not talk about it.
I am.
I'm trying to, like, compare personnel.
That's what I'm doing.
And show you the difference. But obviously you don't think there's a difference between Teddy Bruschi and Akeem Ayers.
I haven't got to him yet.
You know,
but
I mean, they had six linebackers that were as good or better than anything they have now.
That much worse
six.
Than Vrabel?
No. I think Ninkovich is legitimately Vrabel 2.0. I think he's good, not great. I think it's close.
And Will Fork.
Vrabel was not the all-pro that he once was.
Will Fork was in the middle then.
He was a lot better then than he is now.
And he's a lot,
plus you had Keith
Trailer
with him.
Now, you know. Who was next to him at that time?
It
was
Seymour and Warren.
Yeah. Warren's pretty good, you know.
What about Seymour?
Seymour's good. Yeah.
See, that's the problem.
Yep.
You're not understanding the depth of that defense.
But did they have anybody? Well, they had. Well, Ty Law
and Asante Samuel.
But Law was hurt.
Rodney Harrison.
In 04, right?
Yeah, he got hurt halfway through the season. Yeah, but I mean that was still the personnel that you're dealing with. But
that was a great defense.
The part that I'm talking about even more than just comparing players, because I agree with you. You can make an argument offensively that they might. I don't think that, but you can make an argument, and I wouldn't say that you're wrong. Just the teams that they play. I mean, the caliber of league is just, to me, night and day. Like, you talk about Denver. Well, Denver had 438 yards passing. What did they used to do to Peyton Manning? When pick him off five times and win the game 23-3? That's what that defense used to do to Peyton Manning.
Yeah, but he's setting records
not allow,
now.
Not allow Peyton Manning to run up and down the field and hope to get a red zone stop.
He was setting records then, too.
He's setting records now and not then?
He breaks
his own records.
Talking about season records.
He had 49 touchdown passes in 04, didn't he?
Yeah, last year he had 55.
Okay,
right, but
so he set the record.
He's on pace to get there again.
But that you
no,
can
he's
say
not,
is,
actually,
he isn't.
Okay.
But that's the alteration of the league. You can say that's six extra touchdowns. The league is different. But
right,
he was the best of all time then, and he's the best
right,
of all
so
time
Right, so it's all
now.
Relative.
Right, and you were shutting it down.
But you
you're
shut
not
it
shutting
down
it down
then.
Now.
Yeah.
You're giving up 23 points now.
Why do you hate the 04 defense?
Again.
But that's
but
all
you're
I'm
right.
Saying.
This week they have an opportunity, right. But they don't even have, in my opinion, they don't even have that marquee performance. You know, that is an obvious one when you do it to Manning in the postseason, but this is a chance to be
right.
A marquee performance.
I agree with it.
The best offense they're going to face.
That's why I started
this out. I just think the league
out,
was a lot better then.
Well, there's no doubt
that's
the league was
feeling.
Better then.
That's why I started out. If they go into Green Bay and shut down Aaron Rodgers.
But they got to shut him down because, like Paul said,
right.
They used to shut down Peyton Manning.
Don't shut him down like they shut down Peyton Manning.
Right. Where he's going for it on fourth down, and that keeps him in the 20s instead of the 30s. And don't shut down a Detroit Lions team that shuts themselves.
Yeah, I mean, but the reason why he's going for it on fourth down is because he couldn't make it on
third
down. Because
the offense is putting up big points.
Right, you're missing the point. Missing the point. If you think that
you guys don't like this team, I do. That's Andy's. That's what Andy's.
No, you started it, you big dummy. You big dummy.
And you definitely started like a road that I don't think any of us intended to go down. We're talking about.
Oh, no, I intended to go down.
No, but you
road.
Don't, I mean, but you started the whole thing. Is this ready for, I mean, the Patriots just that much better
the
than everybody else? And I answered,
seen.
Yes. Right? In this particular league, I don't see a team that is on par with the Patriots. I can't believe I'm saying it after what I saw in the first month of the season, but only a fool just ignores, what has Ray Lewis said? Even a fool is thought a genius until he opens he or she mouth.
Right.
I mean, only a fool ignores what's happened in the last 2 months. I mean, this is just dominance against good teams.
And
these are good teams they're playing. They're that much better than them.
And Dilfer figured it out. You have to win games to
so
win
you can't lose.
That's right.
Right.
And luckily, they're winning by a lot of points.
He figured it out.
Well,
and when you look at point differential, which I was this morning, the only team that's even close, and they're behind by 23 points, is Green Bay.
Right.
No one else is even close to the Patriots.
I will say our defense is better than Green Bay's. That's fact.
By a lot.
But I will also say, though, that in terms of points allowed, the Patriots aren't near the top. They're like middle.
No, I know.
It's like 10, 11 teams that have allowed less points than the Patriots.
No, I know.
I think they're 12 or 13.
Yeah. So, but
I'm just not, I know everybody is anointing this defense as 04-esque. I think it is the best since 04.
I think it's
getting there.
But I
think there's a big jump to 04.
Yeah.
That last step. And I just, they were great this week, but they were great against a team that has not been great.
No, Paul's right. In 04, they'd get a two-score lead, 10 or 14, and it would be over. It would be over.
Yeah.
They'd shut them down.
I mean,
I don't have that faith in this defense yet. I just don't.
Yeah.
Now, I like it. And, somebody tweeted me and said, when was the last time we liked having the defense on the field? You're watching them do stuff. Yes, this defense is going in that. It used to be you just held your breath and hoped that you could get the offense back on the field. It has taken that step.
Right.
But it hasn't taken the step to elite.
I'm sure people will say, well, what about 07? That was an offensive team.
Yeah. I think that this defense benefits.
Right.
I mean, this defense is a lot better than the 07 defense.
Yeah, and
I think this defense is also benefiting greatly from the offense.
The demise of the Patriots defense, we saw it in 06, and it really never got rectified
until this year.
Up until this year.
Yeah, you're right.
You know?
Until you get Darrell Revis.
You went out and you paid for the best player that was available, and that is transferred.
And I still
defense.
Say they might have been a lot better last year had, you know, without the injuries. We might have seen
They would have been better.
Yeah.
No question about that. But you know, you're missing two key guys now and you're playing better because you have Revis.
Right.
I do think Aqib Talib was sort of the appetizer for Revis. You had a really good corner who was borderline transformational. I think he transformed defense on the field. And then you took the next step to Revis, where you got the legit steak, main course. This is
and then
everything.
And you got the dessert with Browner.
This is the first week where I really liked Browner. Yeah. I thought Browner was really good. I thought this
was
far
terrific.
And away his best game as a Patriot.
I was really, really concerned because there were a lot of reports that indicated he was going to match up with Calvin Johnson. Jeff Howe, and we talked about it a lot in the pregame social, Jeff Howe wrote that he had heard, and I assume that means from some players, that the plan was to have Browner focus on Johnson and Revis focus on Tate. And I was really concerned with that. I thought that could have the potential to get ugly. And I wasn't concerned about this game offensively at all because Detroit stinks offensively. They're good defensively, but offensively they haven't moved the ball all year. They haven't scored points all year long. This is what they do. And they're working on three games without a touchdown. To see him play like that, I don't care if Calvin Johnson is banged up. I don't care how under 100% he is. He never really lost them. He had a couple of times that Johnson was free coming across the middle and had a chance to make plays, and they didn't. But not very many.
One of those was a slip.
He was generally right with him, and I thought by far and away that was the best game that I've seen Brandon Browner play.
And he wasn't always on Johnson. They mixed and matched, and it was very interesting to see when they decided to put Revis on Tate and when to move him off. And it just seemed like they kind of had an idea of when –
I thought
we needed
on.
To put Browner
was,
on this
I
side.
Thought he was on. Was pretty, I thought he was on pretty much every play.
It was primary.
It wasn't every play.
And Revis ended up on Johnson, and I know a lot of people got confused by this.
On the goal
when
line.
He was the only receiver on the field. They had some sets with multiple tight ends and backs where there was only one wide receiver. And if you put Revis on the backside, you're an idiot. You have your best corner. Obviously, he's going to go on Calvin Johnson as the only
That's
receiver
on the
field.
That's a good point, Andy. There was a play on, and this was our take Tuesday for this week, the goal line stand the Patriots had early in the game. Right after the Patriots took a 7-3 lead, Detroit went right down the field, first and goal from the 3-yard line. They ran it, got to the 2, and then they threw it twice. The first play they threw was to Calvin Johnson in the left corner, and Revis was on him. Andy's right. The only reason why Revis was on him, he was the only receiver on the field.
All right.
And there was another one of those plays actually coming out. Must have been a 3rd and short or something. I don't remember the exact situation where, again, he was the only receiver on the field, and he was on him. Yeah. And by the way, don't just believe me. The guy who never agrees with anything that the media says this week's talked about how, you know, Browner had a big matchup with Calvin and Revis on Tate. Like, he talked about.
Who's that?
Bill. Now, so when Bill says it's a matchup, it's a matchup.
We don't know if Johnson's 100%. I mean, the Patriots.
He's not. He's clearly not. Yeah. They were rotating him in and out. He missed some practice time last week. Our pregame guest, Tim Twentyman, said, you know, he's clearly not 100%, but he's clearly better than he's been for a long time.
And he thought that, judging on his body language he thought he was looking a little bit more like his old self.
Yeah, he really did. He said
he missed a lot of plays.
He played ping pong and cornhole last week, so he really seems like he's like.
That's true.
No, he really said that. So you're not the only one who makes those, like, decisions in the locker room.
All right, Web Randy with
Patriots. He played 80% of the plays, so he was out on 16 plays for the offense, just looking at the game book here. They had 80 offensive snaps. He only participated in 64 of them, so that's a lot for a guy like that. I mean, conversely, the Patriots with Brandon LaFell, he had 88%. You know, that's kind of like the outside receiver, and I'm sure that the ones that LaFell didn't participate in came late in the game when they were.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500. Great night last night with the Jets absolutely vomiting over themselves and losing 38-3 on a neutral field against a team with a short week, totally disrupted. I just couldn't be more pleased with the outcome there.
Yeah, I saw a funny tweet where I guess Rex said he wasn't sure who the quarterback would be this week, whether it would be Vic or whether they'd be Geno Smith. And somebody retweeted and said, that's funny, because Geno Smith and Mike Vick aren't sure who their coach will be this week.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's a debacle.
Yeah, as well it should be.
All right. Let's
well it should.
As much as I think nothing of Buffalo, they're a lot better than the Jets.
They seem to be.
They're a lot better than the Jets.
But what about that? I mean, I can see the 3 points, but giving up 38?
Well, I mean, you have a punt block for a touchdown. You have an interception return for a touchdown.
Okay,
I mean,
there's 14 of them.
I mean, the points are going to get...
I didn't actually get to watch the game.
Nobody did.
No, no one did.
Which is kind of too bad, huh?
Yeah. I saw some people trying to send around one of your things,
UB3.eu,
and I actually went to it, and I couldn't figure out really how to...
Now, I assume that there's a rule for ESPN that they can't have a game on while they're broadcasting the Monday night game.
Yeah, they get exclusive.
Nationally. I mean, the game was on, you know, in New York
and
Buffalo.
It was in the local markets, yeah.
But I'm sure that's the reason why you could have it, like, say, on NFL Network, pick up the feed from CBS or whatever.
And it was on Sunday Ticket if you had that.
Yeah. Sabotaging.
Yeah.
All right.
I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't have watched a play of the game.
Oh, God, anyway. I would have been glued.
I did laugh. I was in full-fledged Fred mode when I was watching the Bruins game, and the scroll came up. And I think it was like 17-3 at the half?
14-3.
I think it was 17-3.
Oh, okay.
Something
maybe.
Like that.
He but asks you. You gave him an answer, and he goes, no.
I think. No, you might be right. Maybe it was 14. I'm just trying to figure out how it got. But, like, literally in a blink, the next time the score came up, like, usually when the scores come up on those scrolls, like, it increases by a score. The next time the score came up, it was 31-3. And I'm watching the Bruins game, and it was...
These games can get away from you now.
So these, that's why, could they have scored three times in the span that they changed the score?
I mean?
That's why I was saying I think it was 17.
One thing we didn't bring up that I want to put on, Dominic Raiola. I don't understand how you can do a fine... You know, something you'd be fined for. Admit you did it and not get fined.
Yeah, I don't really either. I like, some people thought he should be suspended.
So
I
that's the
that
way
was
to
ridiculous,
go. Just,
but...
Yeah, I hit him with my helmet, but I meant to do it. So I don't get a fine.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I still think he'll be fined.
But, you know, he didn't mean to, like, he didn't admit to anything illegal, you know.
Oh, no, cut blocking is legal?
Cut blocking is legal.
Well, he shouldn't be fined.
It's an a-hole move. He's an a-hole.
He's
an a-hola.
And he actually missed him.
Yeah, he did miss
and
him.
And I think that might be the reason why if he skates for the fine... Because he didn't really make contact with that. He tried to, but he didn't really get him. And I think that might.
I just lost all respect because he was bullying him that whole last drive. He punched him in the back of the head as he goes by. Then they called a timeout and he shoves him up in the face.
Right.
Like he clearly was pissed off and was taking it off on Zach Moore.
Well, they said it.
You wouldn't have done that if Vince Wilfork were on the field. You would not have had the stones.
Right.
I guarantee it.
They said that they were pissed off that the Patriots didn't just kneel and run out the clock.
Right.
Instead, they scored the last touchdown. You know, this is the kind of stuff. I think it's classless what Raiola did. It's ridiculous. But this is why I always say, like, when do you have enough? Because why risk? No,
well,
okay, with Zach Moore, it didn't matter. But
why
risk?
Did the Patriots go for the touchdown? Because when they went for the field goal, they took a cheap shot on.
No, but they were saying, why didn't they just kneel on the ball
and
run the clock
off? Right.
They tried to score a
touchdown. That could be the response.
That was the response. Because
you want to be an a-hole and try to hurt our center, we're going to score.
Right.
I know, but before that, they were trying to score a touchdown.
No. They had lined up for a field goal. And
the previous three plays before the field goal, they tried to score a touchdown. They were complaining that they didn't just kneel on the ball and turn the ball over on downs.
Then, all right, okay.
I'm not saying I agree with them before
anybody
starts.
Oh, well, I didn't hear those specific. I know Raiola complained. Why aren't
you just
kneeling
on the ball? That's what
at 157. It's under 2 minutes, he said. Just kneel on it.
And that's,
so that was
and
after
that's the only
the penalty.
Thing that
okay.
And I,
yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm not defending Dominic Raiola. So before this gets spun into me taking the other team's side,
you always do.
I think it's ridiculous that the guy, I think it was C.J. Mosley, was the guy who, and not the C.J. Mosley linebacker from Alabama. This is like a defensive lineman guy.
Oh, it's not?
Yeah. No, this is like a...
I didn't know there were two C.J. Mosleys. I just assumed it was
he's
him.
He's a defensive lineman from Missouri. He's like a veteran. And
good
to
know.
He took a cheap shot at Danny Aiken.
He did.
Which is ridiculous. He'll get fined for that.
You know what it reminded
me
of? Was Merriweather.
That's why he used his head. See, I thought
they
it was after the penalty.
They were pissed that they were trying to score. And that's, you know, it's like little baby peewee football.
Oh, you mean even for the field goal they were pissed?
Yes.
Okay.
They were pissed. And just play football. You keep playing until the other team stops.
That's what I thought.
That's what, you know.
Well, right. But that's easy to say. You can get mad.
I know. No.
There's
I absolutely
plenty of emotions. Anyone who's ever
Andy,
played football, there's
mad,
a lot of emotion pumping through your system.
This is what I started my thing with. You can do it that way. The Patriots always do it that way. Bill is very consistent. He always tries to score as many points as he can. That's why I don't like it, because you run the risk of getting someone to do something stupid on the other side. And you don't have that risk if you just kneel on the ball.
That's probably why Vince wasn't on the field. Anybody's going to take one on the knee, it's you, Zach Moore.
Let's go to the phones. First is Eric from New Jersey. Hey, Eric.
Eric!
What's up, Eric?
Eric.
Eric, you there?
Eric.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm okay. Here. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
All right. Hey, guys. I wanted to talk two questions. One you guys were talking about earlier about the 04 defense comparing it to now. I definitely don't think you can really compare and contrast the other two because the style, the way the game's played, and the way the game's called. You're definitely getting away with more. I think you definitely were getting away with more defensively back in 04 than you are now. I mean, just a simple hand to the face, illegal contact, things that you didn't have back then. So I definitely think it's hard. I mean, like I said, both teams, 04 was great, obviously, by the track record. But I mean, I think this defense is great enough to get us to the promised land. I mean, so I think it's hard to make that comparison.
Yeah, I kind of agree. It's sort of like judging Hall of Famers. You have to judge them in the era in which they played and how they compared to other teams, or in the case of Hall of Fame players. And I think compared to other teams in this era, this season, the Patriots defense is getting to be elite.
Well, I think it's definitely, I agree with Eric. It's championship caliber. I'm ready to say they are balanced enough right now, if healthy,
right,
to compete for a championship.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I don't necessarily disagree with the rest, but I agree with that part. This defense is for the first time since we've been talking about this, what, 07, 08?
Yeah.
This is the first time I think they have a defense that's
feel confident.
Championship mm-hmm. worthy.
Starting to feel confident.
And how do you guys feel like Castillo is the linebacker and Akeem Mears? I think Akeem showed up. I think he showed up again, bringing you what he gives you. But I think Castillo, I think even though he's not mentioned enough, I think that's kind of good. He's obviously doing his job. He's not being exposed out there. Definitely, he's out there early in the game. So I feel. How do you feel about giving? Obviously, they're both on there last year. And obviously, I don't think Castillo's earned enough yet for an extension. Definitely like to see more, and also on Ayers. But how do you think about, you think there's going to be an extension looking for Ayers after this offseason?
Oh, geez, I don't know.
I wouldn't. I haven't seen enough to want to extend him, and if I'm Akeem Ayers, I've seen enough, I want to hit the market. I have 3 sacks. I might have 5 or 6 sacks by the time the season's over. I've been referring to it as a Mark Anderson. You come here, you give a little injection. Somebody goes,
then you go to Buffalo,
hey,
and
he
get
was a
second-round
pick. Yeah. You know, he's showing he still has that talent. He was misused in Tennessee. He fell out.
Right.
Let's give him a little money. So if I'm Ayers, I'm hoping to run this out, build up some statistics, and hit free agency.
Bill should get a little kickback from that, too. Thanks, Bill.
Give him a little, crying out loud, the kickback.
Well, something for his trouble.
Why, for coming here and doing his job?
No, for putting
Bill told me to do my job.
Give him a chance to succeed. Thank you.
No, boy.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Get off your knees.
All right, thanks, Eric. Let's go to Marcel in Sweden. Hey, Marcel.
Hey, guys. You hear me, Gub?
Perfect. Jürgen Sturgeon.
Okay. First off, I think I was the first one of you to bring out the Golden State on Brandon Brown. I actually called in last week and talked about that.
The what?
Brandon Brown on Megatron, I'm sorry.
Yes. I mean, a lot of people did because they thought it was the size matchup, and it worked out. You know, I was fearful of it going in, and I'm not fearful coming out because I think Brandon Browner showed that he could hold his own against him.
Paul's left, by the way.
Yeah, Paul just walked out. He's had enough.
Okay. Anyway, coming through this week's matchup, when you have an elite corner like Revis playing at an all-pro level, which I think he is, you should match him up. You can match him up as a pawn, as you guys wrote, against the number 2 receiver and double the 1, which is Jordy Nelson this week.
Yeah, I don't think it. I personally don't think it's a 1-2 thing. I think it's a size thing. I think they're going with obvious. When it's a bigger physical guy, Browner goes against him. When it's a, if they're sort of on the same level, if you know the 1 and the 2 are both productive forces.
Well, Nelson's like 6'2", right? 6'3". He's a taller guy.
He is. I don't know his exact size. Yeah. Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. I mean, I fear Jordy Nelson. He's having a career year.
You should.
Yeah. You know, and Eddie Lacy. I think, I mean, Green Bay has a really, really good offense. So
best we've ever seen.
They do.
Best we've seen this year.
But coming back to it, I think Dante Hightower is playing out of his mind compared to what he's been. I've actually seen him being able to cover this year, and he's so quick when blitzing it into the back.
Well, that's the thing. I'm really impressed with both cornerbacks' tackling ability, Browner and Revis. You know, the support against the run in, you know, those little outside passes, those quick passes. They cover the ground quickly, and they minimize the gains to like a yard or two. I'm really impressed. And Throw Chung in there, too. Chung's having a career year, yeah, in my opinion.
That's what I thought until I asked Bill about it yesterday, and he said, no, he's always been this good, basically.
Well, he didn't want to say. I knew what he was doing.
I know. Yeah. But you can praise a guy. Right. I think he's been significantly better in coverage.
I do, too.
Not just this year from the first time. In the summer, I didn't think he was that good. We went to Washington. I didn't think he played very well in coverage. The Eagles, I think Ertz, was it, got by him in the preseason game. And then all of a sudden, I feel pretty good about his coverage abilities.
Yeah.
It's weird.
The light switch went on with him.
6'3", 217, yep, for Jordy Nelson.
6'3", 217.
Sounds like a Browner week to me.
So he's a tall drink of, yep, water.
Yeah, because I think it is all size, basically.
Yeah.
And the thing you said about tackles, like when Revis, you saw the play when they ran like a sweep, the Colts, and Revis came up and there was a pull, I think the left tackle was pulling or something, and he just met him.
Yep.
Right there. Straight there.
He's a physical.
I've never seen the corner do that. It's so impressive.
Well, I have, but he's a physical. You don't see a lot of the elite cover corners do it as much because they have the Dion egos. And
right.
But he's a football player. He's a physical guy, and that's part of his coverage, too, is he's physical in coverage. You know, I think he's every bit just about as physical as Brandon Browner.
Sure.
He's just smaller and more athletic,
right,
so it doesn't look the same, feel the same.
Right.
But I think he's a physical coverage guy, too, and
yep,
I like it. You know, I think you've brought a little of that Legion of Boom. You've brought a little bit of that physicality. You know, they have the camaraderie. You know, they were talking this week about the ball bag that they put the turnovers in, and I think you got to give them credit for the bodies. I said this post game show, you know, Chung and Harmon and Logan Ryan and Kyle Arrington and, you know, Butler a week. They've been rotating bodies through, and it's working.
Yeah.
Now, it's kind of like rotating Tim Wright and Shane Vereen through. As long as Gronk's on the field, I feel good about that offense. As long as Revis and Browner are on the field, okay, now the rest of the defense falls into place. But give those guys credit.
All right, thanks, Marcel. Let's go to Trey in Memphis. Hey, Trey.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Great.
Hey, man, Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving to you guys, man. And I really want to say, man, you guys' journalistic skills is amazing, man, even though you guys are crazy as hell. You guys always manage to. I mean, you guys paint great pictures, man. And you guys are able to, you know, stay professional and always keep that sense of humor. You know, and I think that's impressive, man.
I don't know if we always stay professional, but thank you.
We try.
Yeah.
For the most part, I think we're professional.
It's professional because you guys can turn the switch on and off. So I mean, I'm gonna call you guys the GOAT.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
You know, you just gave me a little boost.
Yeah.
Hey, man, this is amazing, man. What I'm seeing, man, we got the deepest secondary that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, when you can sit guys down and deactivate guys, and I mean, it's amazing, you know, what I'm seeing, and I don't remember a team ever being this deep.
I agree.
Certainly not here.
And when we were talking about the potential depth in the before the season started, Dennard was like right there, and he's not even part of it.
He might be again in some place.
Oh, he might be, but I'm just saying they are deep and they're effective even without Dennard.
And we've seen it here where it hasn't been this deep, that there was good talent, and then all of a sudden Sean Mayer, was that the guy's name?
Yeah, from
the
Brown?
White safety guy.
Is that the kid from
No,
Brown?
That's a different one, but similar type of a nobody.
Yeah.
They would have these guys in key roles, and this year you would go to guys that have been starters for you previously. And this is as deep a secondary, and that's good.
There won't be any Troy Brown or Julian Edelman playing safety this year.
In a passing league,
that's great. Let me ask you
knock
guys
on wood.
I got two questions. First question is, what's going on with LaFell? I mean, that was a freakish fall. I mean, that was kind of scary, man. So, I mean, what's going on? Have you guys seen him? I mean,
yes.
Have you guys heard anything?
Yes, he declared himself fine. He said if they had to have another game that night, he would have played in it. So he said it was just, whatever. He didn't get really into details of what hurt, but it was his left shoulder, and he's declared it won't affect him moving forward.
I hope isn't the Tommy Kelly fine.
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, then he goes on IR. Right?
That's right, Fred.
Okay, let me ask you this question. What's this? Is there any kind of way we could, keep, I know McCourty, he's due for a contract, and as well as Revis, I like to say, of course, he's going to hit the market, I mean, or whatever. Is there any kind of way, man, we could keep this nucleus together? I mean, what could we do?
There is a way. There is a way.
You can just keep Revis if you really want to. Now, we need to put in mind here, I don't know the exact cap number, but Brady's cap number is not going way up.
No.
Right? You know, you have those yearly salaries, unless you cut them. Remember, we were talking about the trading, and then you'd have an acceleration.
Right.
But there is certainly the possibility. You'll have to be a little creative. There's certainly the possibility you could keep Revis. Ideally, it would be to an extension, to take that cap, because it's a $25 million cap number.
Right.
And there's a
95 million?
Yes.
Yep.
Sorry.
Wow.
Sorry, I didn't mean to ruin your day there.
No. It is prohibitive, but Andy's right. Because you have an elite quarterback that doesn't have a high cap number, you can be creative. And it could mean saying to Darrell, okay, you're due this in this year, but look, we'll give you $10 million up front. We'll extend you a couple more years. So, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to make all your money. But we'll be able, like you said.
Winning, man, he's looking at this and be like, Jesus, thank God I did not take my ass over there. All right, guys.
All right. Thanks, Trey. I think he meant to hang up. I don't know.
I think he was done with you.
Done with me. But there is a way to do it. And without having to add a lot of people, I think they can be in good shape.
Gerard Mayo's salary is $6.25 million next year for a total cap number of, where the hell is it? 10.28.
I was going to say in the 10.
So, Gerard, I don't think you're getting a $6 million
salary.
He's
the one that I think you have to be flexible with him. And McCourty's got to be
McCourty is a free agent.
I know, but you got to be creative with him too.
Oh, and the other one, Nate Solder, that's $7.5 million cap number because it's the fifth year option on his rookie contract.
Yeah.
If you can bring that cap number down early in the contract, you could create.
See,
some
maybe
money.
You franchise McCourty because as a safety, you know.
Oh, Danny Amendola's got a $4 million salary. Guess what, Danny? Peace out.
So
right there, we just tinkered, and we may have found like $12 million bucks.
Right.
Right? So you can do it. It's not great. It's not, you know, I thought Trey was $25 million. But you could do it if you really have to, and maybe you don't have to. Maybe you can get that cap number down.
And the idea is do it and keep the nucleus together.
Now, the one question I have is Revis's end of it. What does he want?
Right.
And is that affected by how far you go in the postseason if you win a Super Bowl?
If you win a Super Bowl, does he not care anymore?
I wouldn't if I were him, I think. If I won a Super Bowl, I'd be cashing in again.
I know, but you know what? If I'm Robert Kraft and Tom Brady, not that Brady makes any of these decisions, and Bill Belichick, we just won a Super Bowl. We can do it again.
Sure.
We can do it back-to-back like we did before. We can do it again. Darrell, you can be part of that.
Exactly.
And you can still make your money.
I know. You know. But I'm just... I haven't spoken with him specifically about contracts. I don't know. But from afar, he has certainly seemed like a me first financially. He renegotiated twice with the Jets. He did those big one-year deals with the... So he certainly feels like a guy.
He's a corporation.
Right. And I don't fault that.
No.
And if you get your ring, I think the best case scenario might be you go to like an AFC title game and lose in terms of bringing Revis back because he gets the taste and he's right there on that cusp.
Everyone says players don't have any leverage. Well, when you are a player with leverage, use it.
Exactly, because you're going to lose it soon.
Right. Rob's in Canada. Hey, Rob.
It's Rob up in Canada.
Okay. Hey, Rob.
Yeah, how are you guys doing? Last time I talked to you, I was arguing with a moose in the middle of a path.
Right, that's right. How did that end up?
I couldn't get too close to the moose because it was rutting season and I never did get any good pictures, so I apologize for that.
Okay.
You know what they say about the moose? You mess with a moose, you get the horns.
Yeah, well, I called the moose Kevin, so...
Wow.
No, that moose was way smarter than Kevin. That was disrespectful to the moose.
Geez. Yeah, anyway, if my voice is a little shaky, I have to apologize because I'm on my treadmill here in my office.
Is that for real or is that a joke?
No, that's for real.
Really? So you have a treadmill in your...
About now, that, I thought, geez, I could do that.
Is your office in your home or in a business?
Yeah, it's in my home, and whenever my wife goes through, she just shakes her head. So I understand you not doing it.
Right.
What do you have it set at right now? Because you're not even breathing heavy.
No, well, it's a little shaky because I'm going up and down, but it's only about 1 mile an hour.
Oh, okay.
It's not like I'm pushing it at all.
Jack it up.
Good for you, though.
Yeah, listen, I thought that was a great game on the weekend, and I think you guys do a great job before and after and all the reporting and so on. But I got some points about how the media cover the Patriots. And first of all, I want to take you back to last summer when there was that joint practice between Washington and the Patriots.
There were a couple days of it.
Remember how stunned the Washington media were by Brady going up and down the field?
Yes.
Why couldn't RG3 do that?
Yeah, it wasn't just the media. I can actually remember when I was blogging from the sidelines, fans were yelling to Brady, can you please show RG3 how to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody should do some kind of retrospective on what's happened over the last 4 months between, you know, the Patriots and the Redskins and how it's all shaken out, because it's really kind of sad.
And it's sad if you're a Redskins fan, because everything that's great about Tom Brady on the field and off is the exact opposite of what RG3 is, your franchise quarterback in Washington.
Yeah. And some of the coverage was kind of indicating that even back then, that Gruden wasn't completely happy with RG3.
Yeah, there was a vibe that fans, media, there was a vibe that people thought that Cousins was better suited to run the offense and run the team. And you're kind of seeing that. Whether it's Cousins or not, you're kind of seeing that RG3 might not be the guy.
I think RG3 is a perfect example of a smart guy who's not very smart at football.
I think he's a perfect example of a guy who's been coddled all his life.
Well, maybe that too, but I don't think he has a lot of football smarts.
His dad should have named him Sue.
I think
so
he's
he
got
would
a
grow
lot
up
of,
tough.
He's got a lot of physical talent, and I think off the field he's an intelligent kid, but he doesn't have that football IQ that a guy like Troy Brown has.
Yeah.
You know?
But he doesn't even have the just normal awareness of right and wrong. And I'm not saying like murder versus, I'm saying just the right thing to do and say and sort. I just feel like he's been coddled and gotten his own way for so long that he doesn't know how to deal with adversity and teammates and different things.
Could be.
Well, it's not just RG3. It's the whole way the team was run, the whole organization, how the practices were going,
it's
everything.
True. So. It trickles down from Dan Snyder. All right. Thanks, Rob. We got to move on. We have a lot of
I'm going to start a rumor right now. Yeah. Because I think Jay Gruden's on thin ice, because as soon as you start ripping the quarterback, now the owner is making a decision whether I'm with the quarterback or whether I'm with the coach. And Art Briles, head coach, Baylor University, a lot of people are saying it's just about time for him to come to the NFL. I could see the rumors starting that, oh, I'm Dan Snyder. I'll go get the guy that knows how to use RG3. Mm-hmm. I'll get, you know, sort of like he did with Spurrier, get the hot college guy. You heard it here first. Art Briles to the Redskins.
All right, quickly, let's go to Corey in Wisconsin. Hey, Corey. Corey.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, guys. I'm thinking that next Sunday, tell me your opinion. I think New England has a defense that can maybe stop the T-1000 that is Aaron Rodgers, but I don't think that Green Bay has a defense that can stop the T-1000 that is Tom Brady.
I think the Patriots have a defense that may be able to slow Aaron Rodgers. They're not going to stop him. I don't see this being the marquee hold Aaron Rodgers to, say, 13 points or 15 points. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to score his.
And this is very much like playing Luck or Manning. If you look at those games, Luck had 300 and some odd yards.
But Rodgers is even better.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're not going to shut him down completely. Plus, you have to deal with Eddie Lacy, who is a better running back than anything that the Colts or Broncos had.
That's a great point, Fred Kirsch, from you.
Thank you.
Is a phenomenal point that I really hadn't posed in my mind as of yet. But I was just thinking Rodgers is athletic. He's the best quarterback. He's accurate. He doesn't throw picks. You know, hasn't thrown a pick at home in 2 years. So you're not going to get your pick,
right?
In all likelihood. But you mix in Eddie Lacy, the biggest challenge to this run defense in quite some time. Fred's trying to convince me to pick the Packers.
Uh-oh. Ye of little faith. All right. You got anything else, Corey? We got to move on. What else? Quickly. Nothing? Okay. Thanks, Corey.
Why are you bullying callers?
Just because we have a lot of emails. Everybody wants to weigh in here. I feel bad. I want to give everyone
a chance.
You can
cut them short without cutting them off.
Okay. I just
and by the way, don't ask them. If you're done with them, just go.
Well, this isn't.
Just say thanks for the
these
call.
These aren't the real radio that we're very polite to our callers here. You know.
Yes.
We're
you not, say thanks for the call.
We're not above our callers. We
because
like,
when you ask if you have anything else and they don't know,
last point,
it takes up 30 seconds.
We need to talk to Fred because he's given us like a bad name on the pre and the post game
right.
because they expect like 15
right.
minutes and then
listen,
a formal greeting.
His last
and
point
all this
might have
stuff.
Been his best one. I don't know. Marcus,
just say thanks for the call and
then,
move on.
And then they want a postcard after the show.
Marcus right. in Miami, no. thanks for the call. I gotta go. No. What's up, Marcus?
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Good. Turn down your internet.
All right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Let me click on it. Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you and everything else that's going
oh,
on.
Nice.
In your
no,
house.
No, that's good. You cleared it. You got it. You got it.
I'm at work, guys. All right, just a quick question. I remember last year we were all worried about that gauntlet of games that we had going through and we're a little ho-hum with all the injuries. Now it looks like we're not skating through them. I mean, 7 wins in a row, that's cool. But after the Packers game and we come out victorious, are you guys ready to just – I'm not saying all eyes on Glendale, but that's what it is for me.
You know, I was thinking about this, Marcus. I am traumatized. Ever since 2007, I will never fall into that trap again because if there's any game that the Patriots couldn't lose, it was in Glendale. And so I'm scared of the Bills. I'm scared of the Jets. I'm scared. Yep. I'm scared of the Dolphins. I'm scared of the Chargers.
Guess
they can
we know,
lose any one of those games.
Guess we just answered your famous question. We know who the pussy is now. You.
I'm sorry. I have PSTD or whatever it is.
PSTD.
After that 07 game, I'll never fall into that trap again. I'll always pick the Patriots because I think they're better, but
I'm all in. I am actually already trying to get tickets to anything that Katy Perry does in Arizona. Yeah. We will be in Arizona. I don't know if we'll win, but we will be there. And guess what?
Can't look ahead.
My Super Bowl prediction of the Patriots and the Packers, I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Well, that's what I predicted,
guys.
Too.
See you, Marcus.
All
see
right.
Fred. See Fred. Quicker. Keep your hand on the button.
Oh, quiet. Matthew's in California. Hey, Matthew.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
So I got a couple good points here. So I was wondering, hey, does this game right here, if the Green Bay Packers and if the Patriots win this one, do you think this game has MVP implications if Brady beats Rodgers?
Yes,
certainly could.
Absolutely.
Well,
yes.
That's a very good point. You're right. You said you had good points, and that is a good
point. That's a good point. What's your next point, Matthew?
Although, don't discount Gronk. Don't you know, if you're going to call it an MVP game, if Gronk has 3 scores and dominates, Clay Matthews.
Well, the pass I gave on Brady on Gronk the last 3 years is because Gronk wasn't there, and the Super Bowl doesn't count because he wasn't the same.
That's right.
So what if though? Gronk, what if though? It's the defense that wins this game against the Packers. Is Revis in the conversation for MVP?
I'm sorry, he's not in my conversation.
Oh wow, wow. Okay.
If we have a healthy Gronk throughout the whole playoffs, we will win the Super Bowl without a doubt. That is my bold prediction. Without a doubt, we will win the Super Bowl if Gronk can stay healthy.
I don't
It's a very reasonable prediction. I don't even think it's bold.
I don't think it's bold.
Yeah.
Now, I think a reasonable prediction, actually, is if you have Brady, Gronk, and Revis, you're going to win the Super Bowl. We started it. It was the cover of PFW to lead the season, and I feel stronger about that now. Those three have been a
pull out the training camp pictures with the three of them doing their little drills.
Why are you going to make it little?
The decline that started for Peyton Manning, still goes for 3 touchdowns, but he's still declining, though.
Well, he is declining. I mean,
yeah, he is. I think he is too. I think he's going to lose this week against Kansas City.
He could, and he's looking old, and it is what it is. Yeah. But I still say, Fred, get rid of the caller. Say thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call.
I still say, you ask, is this the best offense? Well, the Broncos offense we thought was the best offense, right? Coming in,
right.
So we might look back at this differently in a couple weeks if we dismantle them, right?
Yeah.
So comparing foresight and hindsight is not really fair.
Big Al in Georgia. Hey, Big Al.
Yeah, I'm really sorry I called now. Jeez. Fred, you gotta catch another flight to New York? You're going to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated again or something?
Hey, I have to provide more audio for Fox Sports, apparently.
It's weird. There's a lot of interest in this exhibition game this week.
Yeah.
One cover of Sports Illustrated goes right to Fred's head. Unbelievable.
That's true. That's why we're not going to play him.
Big win Sunday. I'm looking forward to this Sunday's exhibition game in Green Bay, Wisconsin, which does count but doesn't matter. But I don't know. I've got some stuff to do in the backyard. I need to bust out the nut roller. I might not even watch.
There you go.
It really doesn't. Have we ever played Aaron Rodgers before?
Yes, we did a long time ago when he. was filling in for Favre, actually, and we beat him in Green Bay.
He never filled in for Favre.
We didn't play him in 2000.
Well, it was early in his career. It was like his first year as a starter.
He never filled in.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we beat him. In Foxborough, we didn't play him, right?
No, Matt Flynn played.
Matt Flynn played.
Yeah, right. And yeah, almost beat us.
Wait, have they never played Rodgers?
The
Patriots played Rodgers. I know that for a fact, and we beat him.
I feel like we played him in Green
Bay. On the
Bay.
Road. Yeah, on the road.
In 07?
Well, in 2010, he didn't play. Matt Flynn played.
Right.
And which is incredible, because, I mean, that really jacked up their season, because they didn't go on to... Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I forgot. They won the Super Bowl that year.
Ha, 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 ha. Brady's not hurt, so play him and win.
How's Brady feeling?
Fine. He's great.
Huh?
Why, you have any doubts about that?
Why? What looks sore? What looks hurt? What his ego? Anything? Nothing.
Well, I know it's tough getting medical information about the Patriots, but, I mean, he could have got banged around a few times on Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, he could get banged around anything. He was looking forward to going home and getting at it.
The defense that he just played is certainly better than the one he's about to play.
Well, that's true enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he gets a week off. Maybe it's, I still believe it, fellas. I know that we're going to win this game probably Sunday, and everybody's going to be all fired up about, you know, wow, we statement game and all this, and it really won't mean anything unless we beat San Diego the next week.
That's true.
And if we lose at San Diego, then everybody's going to look at the standings and the tiebreakers and, gee, what happened? Why? How come? What you mean we don't have that big a lead over, you know, what?
Unless some of these teams that you're talking about also lose next week.
Well, there's certainly we've had some help from some teams
since
I brought this up a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, these teams aren't going to go undefeated. They're going to have some losses.
Wait, you're not sticking with the idea that Brady shouldn't play, are you?
Oh, yeah. He's still saying this game means nothing.
You are out of your flipping mind.
No.
Yes.
Matt Flynn played.
Yes,
so? Matt Flynn played in Foxborough. Why can't Jimmy Garoppolo play out there?
So Rodgers was healthy.
He was hurt.
He was hurt.
Well, maybe Brady's hurt.
Oh, God.
He's not.
All right, Al, I got to go. This is like one of those circular
Thanks for the call, Al.
Miguel's in Oregon. Hey, Miguel.
Hey, you guys. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm actually really excited about the Patriots. This season has been really good.
Great.
You should be excited. Actually, this team's rolling.
I know. This guy is talking nonsense, man. What do you mean Brady's not playing?
Oh, yeah. He's been trying to do that for 3 weeks now.
Yeah. I'm not sure what's the guy's name, but he's old Donald Browner. Is he finally going to give him some love now or what?
Well, that's Andy.
Wait, are you talking to me? Because I thought Browner sucked last week. This week was his best game as a Patriot. I can watch games week to week and assess them based on what I've seen.
You're kidding me, man. These corners are shutting down some receivers, and
did he shut down Jacoby Fleener? I mean, Kobe Fleener, when he had a buck 40 on him, and he had a couple penalties as well.
Yeah, that's okay, man. But like seriously, Willis and Browner, I was really excited because I actually seen Browner play in Seattle, and I mean, I like some of the things he's doing. I mean, I think you're a little hard on him. I know. I mean, he's not the best corner in the league, but I'm just glad we have him.
I'm glad we have him too.
Yeah. I'm not hard or soft. I just say what I see.
All right. Thanks for the call, Miguel. Call again. All right. So it's time to take a break. We still have a lot of calls, but I do have to get some emails. So we'll take a break, take some emails. If people are still on the line, we'll try to get to them as well. But email segment coming right up after this.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami.
What? Hey, get back here. Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots. Our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I got my tonsils out, and I had a, back then you stayed overnight. But this was planned. I mean, back then I sucked my thumb and I had a blanket. And I did. I stopped that last year. But
we know who the pussy is now.
So you're in this crib at night. And of course, if you need anything, you had a button to, you know, get the nurse there. So I realized my blanket was in my suitcase.
He said suck it with his eyes.
So I remember
6 years old.
I remember being this little kid. But, you know, so I press the button and the nurse comes over and she says, well, you know, what do you need? I said, in that suitcase, there's a blanket. I need it. And this thing was like tattered because I had literally had it since I'd been born, you know, like where I rubbed it, it was all worn out and everything. So the nurse goes in, she goes, this thing? And I remember, I said, just give it to me.
I don't need your commentary.
I was like five or six. Just give it to me.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
But I remember just saying, just give it to
just
me.
Give it. Shut your hole, idiot.
All right, just give it to me. I don't know.
It was worn where you rubbed it too much.
It was, because you'd suck your thumb and you'd rub it.
How old were you when you were still sucking your thumb and rubbing it?
It was to the point where my grandmother was very concerned. She threw it out once, and I had to go in the garbage and get it. It's true.
Now we're finding out yet again. Who's the pussy now?
It's all right. I admit it. All right. Let's get to the emails. webradio@patriots.com. As promised, before the break, we have a lot of them. Anthony from Toronto. Good afternoon, guys. So what was up with the Fox interview? Moss is interviewing Brady, and they're playing clips of the Chiefs game. Then all of a sudden, they play an audio clip of the three of you talking about Brady being part of the problem and how it's time for Jimmy Garoppolo. Did they ask you if they could use it? Did they give you any credit? I know who cares. At least everyone watching the pregame show around the world heard three of your angelic voices. This is the beginning of the PFW global uprising.
Do they need to credit you for that? Like, at the end of it, should it scroll through, like, patriots.com?
And maybe it did. I didn't really look. You know?
Kevin gave it the thumbs up, probably because Kevin's the one who gave him the clip.
What are you thumbing up, Kevin, besides yourself?
No, they should credit where the sound came from.
Oh, do you know if they did or not?
Oh, no, I never saw it.
Because it's
but
like
they should do like what SportsCenter does, like with, when they take D&C
a million of
the
them, or
left.
Like even the documentaries at the end, 30 for 30, it has like 50 different things. Because you put it out there publicly. I mean, it's public information or whatever,
sure.
But it should say courtesy patriots.com.
I would think so, right?
PFW's progress, patriots.com.
Yeah, it's probably like at, you know,
Tuesday, Wednesday,
7:30 at the end of their total day, they have a big rundown of everything they've used all day, you know.
But, yeah, we're global. Fred Kirsch taking us to the promised land.
Yeah, and I like them using it. I don't really like it that they used it out of context.
Any publicity
like
is good publicity.
No, I know.
Except it's not really publicity because no one knows.
Exactly.
So you wish they had said Fred Kirsch on Patriots.com radio.
Right.
Then I'd be more mad that it got taken out of context.
Stephen Killeen. Oh, by the way, who bought lunch today, Kevin? Do you know? What is he doing?
I don't know. Just sitting there. Can you hear us?
We'll get to that later.
You just shook your head that you couldn't hear me when I asked if you could hear me.
Who bought lunch today?
Who bought lunch today, numbnut?
Janesh.
Janesh. Okay. Thank you, Janesh.
Is that a he or a she?
I think it's a he.
Okay. From where?
They didn't write.
Because I'm not really familiar with the name.
Emails quite a bit, though.
Janesh. You have a Janesh?
Let's see. I have to scroll.
I haven't seen one today.
Okay, but thank you.
It just doesn't ring a bell to me. And usually when people buy lunch, I kind of, they're in the mix enough so that I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I had a very good tuna sub.
I had a gyro, or as it should be pronounced, Eero.
It's Eero? I thought it was Eero.
Eero.
Right.
Exactly. Wait, but you're not.
We're not saying the
same
thing.
You're not saying the same thing.
Eero. Eero.
Yeah.
You don't pronounce the G.
I thought it was yeah.
Eero.
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 What's
Eero.
That?
Yeah, we're not saying the same
thing.
Oh,
Eric.
This is like a Jackie
Chan. We need
Chan
Eric
movie
here to
with,
correct us.
With Chris Rock or whatever. I see your lips moving, but I don't know what you're saying.
What's the
Princess Bride. I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Oh, yeah.
That's what that reminded me of.
Yiddo. Yeah. No, we're not saying the same.
Stephen Killeen, first, thanks to Andy and Paul for showing love in the post-game show. If the Patriots can shut down Green Bay in their house, I do not see the remainder of the schedule as the grind this four games have been. That is not taking anything away from the Bills or Chargers. I just feel that the Patriots are back to being able to morph in a team that can revamp and become whatever they need to beat great teams. As I said, everyone is a number one something until they meet the Patriots. A very happy and safe to all of the stellar Patriots media team, the Kraft family, and, of course, the best fans in the world, fact, not opinion, Patriots Nation.
Woo!
All right, Steve, thank you.
They do. The one thing I would, I'm still, and Fred brought it up to me, I was kind of whistling past the graveyard, so to speak, here.
I'm not.
He's worried about Eddie Lacy. And I will say the run defense would be, in terms of morphing, the different things they can do, run, pass, stop run, stop pass, stop run would be my biggest, still not totally sold that they can, stop the run. All right.
I agree, because they've been unbelievable against the run the last 3 weeks against sort of finesse running teams, shotgun spread running teams. This is a team
they
that
have been unbelievable.
That can, oh, God, like, it's less than 3 yards
they
a carry.
They didn't just stop it. They killed it.
And we just talked about it on All Access when I left. It's when you not just when you are able to contain a running game. They've completely eliminated the running game from the last three opponents and made them completely one-dimensional. All three of the guys that you've seen the last 3 weeks have been averaging less than 3 yards a carry.
Irrelevant.
Right. And that's, listen, I don't think that Miami really powered up and ran the ball at you in the open. That was sort of some zone read kind of finesse stuff with no Sean Moreno, and you couldn't stop it. Now, Kansas City's a little of everything. They can run it traditionally. They can run it out of spreads. But this is the first time since that Jets game that you have a chance. I still think Green Bay is a pass-first offense, and I don't necessarily look at it as a power offense with Eddie Lacy. But Eddie Lacy is a power back.
Yeah,
no
he's,
question.
I mean, he's built like Fred.
Pat and Agawam, Paul, don't forget that Manning's offense rolled up about 450 yards and 24 points of offense in the 0-4 opener. That year's defense played at its best when the stakes were highest, end of games, playoff, etc. We all know you think this year's D and Tom Brady suck. I guess you're right on that account, too. If number 12
see what
wasn't,
you did? If see what you did?
If number 12 wasn't declining, he probably wouldn't have thrown that pick around the goal line on Sunday, and he said sarcasm. He's being sarcastic.
No, I know. I do want to make one slight, because he's right about the first game that they played that year in 04 is exactly right. The difference is when the weather became a factor, they shut him down, just like this time. Right?
Right.
I mean, that's the coral. I mean, that was the opening game of the year in September of 04. It was the Thursday night opener.
Right.
27-24, where Manning did, I mean, the Patriots, I think the Colts, I think, turned the ball over twice inside the Patriots' five-yard line.
Just a little quick update game from our friend Janish.
Janish.
Just tweeted me, which is weird because he says, unable to listen live today, but hope you enjoy lunch. Best radio show, bar none.
Thank you very much for the lunch.
But how did he know to tweet me when we just happened to just be talking about him? And it's crazy. But Janish, big fan.
Yep. Chad writes in, if this team runs the table and wins the big one, it's the best team the Patriots have ever had, period. Why? Because Brady gets ring number 4, and our beloved quarterback, Tom Terrific, will always and forever be part of the ultimate question, who's the greatest quarterback to ever play the game? As Patriots fans, the answer will be a simple one. As for the Jets, it's comical at this point. I can't even say F the Jets anymore. I pity them. It's so sad to see them so bad. Not really. F the Jets.
Now, that was you speaking.
No, that was him.
Oh, okay.
Still part of the email.
Now, I don't really understand the connection.
Does
with
Tom Brady
this
need a Super Bowl title to be in, how did you put it?
The greatest ever?
In the conversation.
Well, he's in the conversation now. He says that seals it.
Read it again.
I deleted
I don't think that's what he said.
I didn't think he said that either.
Yeah.
I think he's in the conversation now.
I think so, too.
And I don't think the one more does anything.
Right.
I've decided. Just so you know, the number is 2. If they win 2 more Super Bowls, then I say he's the greatest ever.
Well, but it helps them, obviously, the more titles that you win. But I think that he's already in a very small handful of the greatest of all time.
No doubt.
And I don't think that you can definitively name one.
What's the greatest divide or distance between Super Bowl wins for a quarterback?
Oh, I think this would be
this would be it. Because that's another factor, you know, the length of career and the winning, you know, and it's not like he sucked in the middle.
Right.
But there would still be a 14-year divide or whatever between the first and the last.
Right.
I think that would be, you'd add it to the list of positives for why you'd argue for him to be the greatest ever. I don't think it puts him over the top. I think five puts him over the top.
Now, I think Elway may have had close anyway of a gap between Super Bowl appearances.
Right.
Right.
But not wins.
Right. Kyle says, Skip Bayless says the Patriots will go 4-1 to close out the year with a loss at the Jets because Rex Ryan has Brady's number. Anyone else wondering why this guy still has a job? Now, you could be talking about Rex Ryan or Skip Bayless. I don't know which one he's talking about.
I'm not wondering why Rex Ryan should have a job in the National Football League as a coach.
Oh, yeah.
At the very least as a defensive coordinator and maybe as a head coach.
Absolutely.
It just proves, though, the Skip Bayless thing. Skip Bayless is a clown. We all agree on that.
He
loves the Patriots more than Fred. He thinks the Patriots are better than Fred thinks they are.
But does he, like, I see retweets of stuff from him that are some of the most ridiculous statements I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, does he do it just to get attention? Or
yes.
And it works, right?
Yeah.
He probably makes good money.
I mean, he was a beat writer down in Dallas, right?
Yeah. But he is one of those guys that sort of sold out as any credibility to be, I mean, is there a better example of a troll out there?
No.
Felger?
I
think of Felger because he was a beat writer that when he went to radio, he changed, right?
No.
Oh, yes, he did.
He was a beat writer doing exactly what he does now, throwing outrageous stuff up against the wall. How he covered the beat. That's how he got fired from the first beat that he covered. Then he went to a second beat.
He was as in with the team when he was on the beat as Mike Reese is.
For a very, very short period of time.
Yeah, and then he went to radio and he changed.
No, it's not. Okay, friend.
That's not the order
That's
of
not
operations.
The order that it happened.
You missed us.
You got to stick up for him.
Well, he does.
I'm not sticking up for Felger. I just said he covered the beat. That was the opposite of sticking up for him. He was every bit as irresponsible as a beat writer as he is a radio guy.
Not when talking about the Patriots. He was.
Yes, he was.
He was very pro-Patriot. Very
for a while, a short period of time.
I can tell you in 03, all he did all year long was tell you how much better the Colts were than the Patriots. That's what he spent the whole year doing.
All
right. And now he tells you how much better the Patriots were than the Colts back then.
Oh, that's what he's done. I told you the other day, he did a whole show on, like, it's, you know, you can't even put together an all AFC East team based on talent from the last decade plus because the Patriots have been so much more dominant, blah, 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 blah. And yet it wasn't that long ago where he was saying the Jets way was the way to do it. I mean, who would even start on the Jets from the Patriots roster? You know, back-to-back AFC title game. Well, maybe Brady over Sanchez. Like, that was his whole shtick, but he just moves on and forgets that it ever happened. And apparently listeners forget.
And that's what he did as a beat guy, too.
Right.
He was in the Patriots' pocket. There's no question about that for a very short period of time.
God bless him.
And then he
He's
wrote that.
More
I'll tell you,
than
I'll tell you exactly
life.
When it changed. He wrote the story that Ted Washington had re-signed with the Patriots when it wasn't done.
Ooh, I thought that was us.
No. He wrote it, and then I wrote the counter. I said, an erroneous report in today's Boston Herald.
Okay. Yeah.
That was so. You know, I understand that I'm. Absolutely psychotic.
Oh, yeah, he got screwed on that one.
It's psychotic when it comes to this crap that I remember these stupid little minute details. But
it's on your lipstick list.
I can't do it. I can't do it in any way to help me in any way in my career or whatever.
What if you bumped him off?
I remember that he was completely in their pocket. They were pissed off beyond belief that he wrote that before it was done. Their side got pissed.
Right, but he got that right from the agent.
I know, and their side got pissed that... we said that it wasn't done yet.
Oh, okay. We got it from the agent. I'm getting my sources mixed up. This was like 11 years ago. Yeah.
So I remember it. Let's just put it that way. Then they were very mad at Felger from that point on.
And he never went fishing and skiing with Bill again.
And he went the other way.
Okay.
Which is generally what happens to everybody.
Yeah.
Except us.
Except one guy. I can't do it.
No, it's the guy that Fred earlier. Fred outed him earlier.
No, Fred. I mean,
it's not like Mike gets inside info, but he is as trusted by the team as anyone on the beat.
Well, he's as trusted by anybody as anybody.
Right, because he doesn't take sides.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't take sides.
Why don't you say that, Paul?
He's down the middle. He gives you the info. You know, he doesn't have an agenda. He doesn't.
I don't think he did.
Why are you yelling at me?
I didn't say. How do you know I was yelling at you?
Because you looked right at me and yelled at me.
But you didn't have to say that.
I don't really think he does.
Yeah. I don't think he has an agenda. His agenda is to get it right. It really is.
It's called reporting, Mike.
Yeah.
That's one of his best lines ever.
I think it should be on his tombstone.
Yeah.
It's called reporting, Mike.
Right.
Although we can all rip Felger with his multi-million dollars he's raking in all the time.
But listen to me. At the end of the day, it's listen entertainment. It's sports and entertainment.
Oh. Well, I thought you were going to say, at the end of the day, would you rather have millions or credibility?
No, but I'm saying if...
millions!
If I was doing Felger's job, I would try to do what Felger's doing, probably not as well.
Because
that's what really entertains people.
But I think you can do it like Felger does it and not necessarily be like Skip Bayless.
No.
Skip Bayless.
I think you can do it like we do it.
Yeah.
I don't think we make up anything on this show. We might magnify shticks a little bit or whatever.
Yeah.
But we all believe on some level the crap we spew. And the crap that we spew is enough to elicit fights between us, between callers, between whatever.
But I think the other part of it that is a little different for us is like we'll go back to the Fox thing.
Oh, the Jets game's on.
I said that stuff about, you know, in the email that had the sarcastic. Yeah, don't you think I look at what I was saying in September and what happened now? I could sit there and dig my heels in and say, yeah, but it's because of this, or this. No, it's because I was wrong, and Brady has shown that, yeah, if you have the other pieces around him, he can be every bit as great as he's always been. I was wrong. Because I didn't think that he could do that anymore.
Well,
Vince doesn't want you on that bandwagon.
Well, I don't really care where Vince wants me or doesn't want me or anything like that. I also, you know what? There's another. I'm glad you brought that up too.
Me too.
Because you know what my favorite part of the Fox thing was Tom's answer to that question.
It was a great answer.
Real good answer.
Tom was less upset about it than the reporters covering Tom were upset about it.
Like who?
Like the merry band of suck ups that have to sit there.
But who's the leader?
Like, I'll give you one. I read a story. There was a story in the Globe from the media guy, Chad Finn, who I like generally.
Yeah.
He's having a good show, Fred. A little something extra in the check this week.
I don't know why are you like, I was just going to point out something that I didn't like that he wrote, but I was suggesting that generally I like what he writes. I don't understand why that's
your
something
tone
to get
and
all
your delivery
about.
Today has been tremendous.
Who I like generally.
Because I'm
about, there are times when I hate his guts.
No, but I'm about to point out something that I disagree with.
Right.
He wrote a paragraph in the middle. He had a story about the Moss Brady interview. And he had a paragraph where he wrote, and I forget the exact word, but some laughably critical comments from the media or something like that.
Right.
Like in September that Brady was beyond reproach?
Absolutely.
Like, okay.
Right.
We were wrong. Those of us that were critical of Brady.
No, but nobody was
and
wrong
I was
to
critical
say
of Brady.
Part of the problem was Brady.
Right.
Well, it's just like I just said with Brandon Browner. I wasn't wrong about Brandon Browner 3 weeks ago. Sunday, Brandon Browner played a great game.
But were there laughably critical comments?
No,
like
no.
I don't know.
To me, don't use the laughable as the word.
But it was not. He was suggesting it was ridiculous that anybody would have questioned Tom Brady.
Oh,
that's,
okay. Yeah.
That's what he wrote.
You
I don't remember exactly what the word.
You could
was.
Have questioned him at a ridiculous level.
To me, the ridiculous comments made during that time.
No one did.
Dilfer and
I don't
Young.
Remember anybody saying.
And like they were talking about that on ESPN.
Well, that just came
morning.
From Brady.
And I thought that
Brady did not say we're weak and we're not good anymore. He never said that.
And I thought Tom's response to that is saying, you know what? I, as a pro, I've never had this. No one's ever questioned me as a pro.
Right.
So I've had it pretty good. And I thought that was a really thoughtful answer. It was an accurate answer because he really has never come under any kind of.
I thought he was.
Why should he?
I thought he was going to cry.
It was a tough day.
I thought
he
was going to pull out the Brady six tears there.
But I was really impressed with that. That answer from Tom, and that's when you mentioned the Wilfork thing. I compared and contrasted this, and now maybe it's because Vince has constantly been under criticism, not individually, but his defense has been under criticism for 5 years, and maybe that's the difference. But I just thought the way that one handled it, as opposed to the way the other handled it, was night and day. And I'll take Tom's response to that every day of the week. I'm surprised. I think you were expecting me to go on a Vince bashing session.
I was hoping for more. I'm not going to lie to you.
Dan in Virginia, did you notice that Brady had a Fred Kirsch third quarter numbers burp in the middle of answering a question
about
Blunt?
Yeah. We actually brought it up, I think, post-game show.
We called it a friend.
He must have been full from feeding on the entrails of his enemies. Four down, two more on the dance card.
What does that mean?
The entrails are
entrails
like the guts.
Are guts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. He ate them a lot.
I told you. I could tell you what happened to Mike Felger in 2003. I don't know what the entrails are.
Bill occasionally has some Freds in his postgame.
Oh, yeah.
I think he must down like a soda right off the field.
Right.
And it just kind of gets
bubbled
up.
Can I pass a petition to not have Chicago included in this streak? Is there any way I can get that done?
You can try.
Well, I mean, like, it's just so disrespectful to Denver, Indianapolis, and Detroit.
Well, it is because
to have the one team with a losing record in there with all these teams that are good.
The guy was right earlier. It seemed every week somebody who's number one in something you dispatch.
Yeah, well,
except Chicago.
Chicago was number one in points allowed. All right, yeah, you dispatched them.
What was the deal with Gray's lack of play? If it was disciplinary, which basically Brady admitted in his postgame,
as did Revis.
Why wasn't Revis sat out when he was late?
Because
they're not all the same. Yeah.
They're not all the same, but Andy had this right on Friday, and I don't think that we had a chance to. I know we didn't have a chance. Maybe we touched on it in the roster report.
I'm flexing.
No, it was pretty obvious, so relax over there.
Wait, you told me no!
What did I tell you no?
You poo pooed me.
No.
You poo poo plattered me.
No. You had made a comment that he can do it. No, you said he was. I said he wouldn't be inactive.
Yeah, and he was inactive, essentially.
No, but.
That's
anyway.
One question I actually wanted to ask. Why did you have him active and not play as opposed to inactive and play?
Because
he might
have needed
him.
You need him.
That was my two.
My point. He wasn't. He did.
My two possibilities were you might need him and you're a little worried, so you're really pussyfooting.
That's
why
I don't think it was all.
The other is it's even worse of a punishment to put him and stand him there next to a coach and just make him sit and.
That might have been it, but
I
think he would have had James White active and he would have had him inactive.
Well, because if that's the case, then Brandon Bolden is just not a running back anymore. He's a Matthew Slater. He's a special teamer.
We talked about that last week.
I know, but now this is, if that's true with Gray, then that's evidence. That's fact. It's not over. I mean, it's over for him as a running back.
Yeah.
But I felt that what Andy said, that this is an easy way to prove a point without putting anything in jeopardy. It's like you can be a bully here and not lose anything, and that's what this is all about. I don't necessarily think it was, he was late. He's not playing. No, he was late. He's not playing because we're playing against a team that we're only going to run the ball 12 times against.
So you think that if this was the Colts game, he would have been out
Absolutely.
There? Absolutely. Yeah, well, he does what's in the best interest
of
the team.
Too.
That's true. It wouldn't have been.
You can argue that with anything.
It wouldn't have been in the best interest
I have nothing
of the
to come
team
back
if he
at
sat yet. Him against the Colts. I mean, you know.
I have nothing to come back at you.
You'll figure out some other way to discipline
but
him if it was
I'm
Colts
just trying week. To get. Yes, it was discipline related. But that's not why he didn't play, if that makes any sense.
I hear you.
I think
no,
that
like
he
I
had
said,
a chance to
if it was
to do
Colts
it
week,
the
he would have found another way to disappoint.
And I don't think the tweet had anything to do with it. I don't think.
Oh, I don't think the tweet had anything to
you
do
know,
with
all,
it. I think they were looking to suppress him to start the week, and they had even more reason to suppress him.
I mean, let's
the
face
week.
It. You know, he has this 201 yards, and he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and people were going gaga over him. And then he's late for practice.
On a Friday.
You know,
that's the other
that
thing
would
that
piss me off, too. If, as much as I love Jonas Gray, you know, that
you
would
have benched him?
I would have done something. I would have done something.
Well, I think they were really on him, too, to sort of keep him under wraps.
Oh, yeah. They were on everybody.
And then, you know, he's talking about the comedy stuff. He's late for a practice.
Right.
Fred, he just doesn't fit in here. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry he does. He's not just fresh for Green Bay.
And I don't know if this is a factor at all, but also remember that the Revis one was a Tuesday extra practice.
Yep.
I don't know if that could be a factor.
Right. Maybe he didn't get the memo. Maybe he thought it was a day off.
But I think the biggest issue way up top is he's Darrell Revis and he's Jonas Gray.
Right.
He's a practice squad call-up. He's all pro. You know,
right.
The rules are different. I'm sorry. Tom Brady has different rules than Jimmy Garoppolo,
Absolutely.
Than Aaron Dobson, than, you know, the
that's,
book,
that's
the Jordan
true.
Rules.
In all sports at every level. I'm sorry.
But not just sports.
Facts.
Families, everything.
Right.
You know, grades with kids. If one kid does certain things academically and they get treated differently based on their track record and what they've done and accomplished.
Right.
And just is what it is.
Expectations.
Right.
Finally, Dan says, didn't the league outlaw cut blocks on D linemen? Did you think it was odd that Belichick specifically responded to Raiola? Belichick did have a great zinger.
No, they have talked about outlawing cut blocks in the future, but they have not outlawed them against defensive linemen. They've outlawed change of possession cut blocks. They've outlawed crackback cut blocks, I believe, a certain distance away from
the end of the line, but a regular cup lock is just a regular cup lock. It happens 700 times a game.
Yeah, the one new element is what Andy mentioned at the beginning. They have talked about eliminating cup blocks altogether. They have not.
They've
been illegal on like special teams and change of possessions for a long time. But the new part is that's getting a groundswell now, just outlaw cut blocking.
I don't really mind it.
In general.
You know the wussification part of me? That one doesn't bother me.
A lot of Al is an idiot emails.
So when I was gone, he legitimately has stood by his premise that Brady should not play this game, or you think he's just...
His tongue was a little...
Yeah, I think he was kidding.
Okay, because I didn't hear it. That's why I was asking you.
I don't know for sure, but I think he was kind of just going down with his ship for comedic purposes.
All right.
He was joking that, you know, his leaves might need raking on Sunday, so this exhibition game, he's not even sure he's going to watch.
And you guys told me that he brought up the fact that Rodgers didn't play against the Patriots,
and they won the Super Bowl. So what does that show you?
Yeah. Let's see. Luke writes in, the reason why this passing league is because there are more elite receivers than elite cornerbacks. Do the math. You can count the shutdown corners on one hand, and even Sherman and Peterson allow us several touchdowns. Just imagine Des Bryant's stats. If every defense he played on a schedule had a Darrell Revis, he wouldn't have a touchdown, and that is why you pay Revis $12 million.
Des Bryant wouldn't have a touchdown?
I think he's being hyperbolic.
Oh, okay.
How did you say that?
Hyperbolic.
I don't really agree with it. I think the job is tougher. That's why there's not shutdown corners. I think it's easier to be an elite receiver than it is to be an elite corner.
I agree.
Hardest job in all of sports.
I agree with that.
Bar none.
I don't know if it's the hardest job in all of sports, but it's much harder to be three
that are harder.
quarterback is harder.
Not physically. Not physically. No, not physically now.
Defenseman in hockey.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
You don't remember my Jack Edwards?
No.
You don't remember this?
No.
Jack Edwards thinks defenseman in hockey is the hardest job in all the sports.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
You can skate backwards. You can play it.
Chad writes in, PFW guys, the offense simply masters its own game plans, and the defense did a better job in the red zone. The only element holding them down is penalties, even though some of them last Sunday were not at all negative. I'm not going to buy the hype about Green Bay's offense. There's no reason why Revis and Browner do not shut down the selfish, pass-happy Rodgers offense.
Rodgers is
selfish.
Pass-happy. But Brady just, you know, guiding the ship.
We won a game by 85 points on Sunday and threw the ball 53 times.
And do you really think they're going to shut down the Packers? Because I think there's no chance.
Not like they did Sunday.
I just think the definition of shutdown is different for some people.
Oh, well.
Because I think some people think that they've shut down the last three opponents they've played. I think they shut down the last opponent they played.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't mean that. I'm not telling you you're wrong, but there's people who think.
It's okay. We can disagree.
No, there are people who believe that they shut down Peyton Manning, they shut down Andrew Luck, and they shut down Matthew Stafford.
I think they shut down Matthew Stafford.
To me, it's kind of in the eye of the beholder. I mean, whatever
not
you feel.
Really, though. I mean, shut down is shut down. You know it.
Mark is in St. Louis. He says, I'm driving 8 hours to the in-laws' house near Green Bay without my wife. They offered me their tickets to the game, so I'm taking my 4- and 3-year-old on a little road trip. Is it weird that I'm going to the in-laws without my wife? I don't think so. Go Pats.
You're driving 8 hours with a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old by yourself?
And taking them to a football game.
Put a bleeping bullet in your
head.
That's
the part I was a little unclear on. You're taking a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old to Lambeau Field?
It's going to be cold.
Late November?
Oh, I didn't necessarily assume that.
I hope that's not.
Oh, maybe not.
I don't think that's really.
But the football game will be a piece of cake after the 8-hour car ride with those kids. I'd shoot myself.
Yeah, I'd have no problem with that. I went 15. Myrtle Beach.
By yourself?
With the kids.
But was your wife there?
Oh, yeah. But the kids were great. They didn't do it.
They're also not 3 and 4.
That's true.
You can give them a Game Boy and say play.
That's true.
A 3-year-old, when it gets a, hair across its ass, its hair is across its ass.
I would assume it would sleep, be a lot of sleeping.
Oh, I see what you did. You spiked the bottle, didn't you?
Yeah.
Let's see. Sam writes in from Chicago. Paul, looks like Jonas Gray's alarm clock basically sealed our bet from last week.
Yep. You're off the hook.
And sorry, Eric.
I thought we deserved a lunch for something.
I'm sorry. 0 is not 80. Right?
Right.
Yeah. So doesn't he owe us a lunch?
So they owe us a lunch.
Yeah.
Who's this guy?
There's two people, because someone bet me 60, that he wouldn't get 60 yards, and I bet that, too.
Pay up. Now, this is for the whole show, not just for you, right?
Yeah, but in all fairness, if he doesn't play.
He was active.
He was active.
That's true. He was active.
I mean,
he had a helmet on and pads on. Yeah.
I'm being a little bit over the, you guys don't owe us lunch. That's, if you want to buy us lunch, then we appreciate it, but you certainly are not obligated because of the bet.
If you have any morals or pride, you'd buy lunch.
But Fred, part of the reason why I made the bet is because I don't think of Jonas Gray the way you do. I don't think he's a staple in your offense. I don't think that, I know he's getting 80 yards because, damn it, he's getting 15 or 20 carries. I think he very easily could have not gotten a lot of carries.
Paul, what about the guy preaching morals and pride that's owed me lunch for like 5 years?
Yeah.
How about that guy?
That's you.
Screw you. Let's get back to you throwing Fred under the bus.
But that's part of the reason why I made the bet. I wouldn't have made the bet if Corey Dillon were here and I said, you know what, Detroit's going to keep him under 80. No, I mean, that's what the Patriots do on offense.
That's what made this
as
an interesting bet.
Yeah, I didn't think there was any chance that Jonas Gray would do that because I don't think he would have ripped off the two long runs that Blunt did.
Let's see. Eric, I tried. Sorry, Eric, I tried. And Eric, if you're going to title a blog, the point after lopsided win despite subpar effort, was it intentional to have a subpar proofreader for the first sentence? and the sentence read, it actually looked Detroit might make a game of it when the Lions began moving the ball on the opening drive against the Patriots. So he forgot the word like. Just kidding, Eskow. We love you and grow a thicker skin even if you rub it every night. Oh, see, now that's not right. Kevin liked that. Question. During the Detroit game, when Edelman's return was called back because of Chung's block in the back, do you think Edelman would have made it by the Detroit defender on his own? It seemed to me, had Chung not pushed the defender, Edelman would have been stopped anyway.
You think he meant to say wouldn't have been stopped
anyway?
Yeah,
I don't know if he meant to.
I thought that guy was in. I can't tell you if he would have made the tackle because Edelman is a slippery guy.
Right. He usually makes that.
But that guy was right in. Well, that guy was in position to hit him as he caught the ball without that block.
And you can't. I mean,
I can't tell you he would have broken that tackle. And if he does break the tackle, does that mean someone else catches him?
But you also hear the official, well, I mean, that block didn't matter. He was going to make a miss anyway, so I'm not going to throw the flag. You threw the flag because it was a block in the back.
Oh, no. We all, but I think he's admitting that it was a penalty, but he's wondering, do you think he needed to commit the penalty? Do you think he would have beaten that guy anyway?
I don't think you should ever commit that penalty.
What do you mean? It's called like almost every kick.
No, I don't think you should ever do it.
The poor guy's just trying.
If a guy's by you, don't block him in the back.
He's just trying to get
at least
opinion.
Give your athlete a chance to make a play. You eliminate any chance of a play.
It seems like it's on one of those things like.
Yeah, because they do it.
I don't know why.
When the guy is by you, don't shove him
in
the back.
It must be harder than we think it is to avoid.
Oh, it is.
You know?
No, I know.
I know that you've played. You know. It's
and he never
believe
got a penalty.
Me. You just feel like you've got to hit the guy.
No, I know, but I also played at a low level. We're mocking us. These are professional athletes who, this is their livelihood. They know better. They study these things. They should have more control than a high school kid or a college kid. Don't hit him.
Andy from Pontypool, Wales. Been listening to the show for a few years now and really appreciate the work you do keeping us fans outside the U.S. connected with our favorite team. Not sure you have ever had an email from Wales before. We have.
Oh, we have to. We're huge over there.
Only Eric probably knows where it is. My question relates to Darrell Revis with how shut down he has been over the last few games, and if he maintains it going forward, how likely is it he plays here next year, either under a new deal or under his huge cap number currently slated? Personally, I would keep him even at the huge number just to have a shot at Brady's fifth ring.
See what he did there? I agree with you. Another back-to-back here, a second back-to-back and the fifth ring. Brady is the greatest ever. And Fred and I took care of it. We cut Mayo. We cut Amendola. Who else did we hit? We created about $15 million of cap space like that.
I don't think it's utterly ridiculous to suggest that they would use that second year as leverage and say, hey, we can do this if we want. We don't want to do that, but we can, and we can keep you here.
Well, actually, while you were gone, Andy and I put together under the cap the team for next year, keeping Revis.
He just said that.
Oh.
He literally just said that.
I was reading emails.
We had, was it Trey?
Yeah.
And he goes, I know it would be a really big cap number. And I go, yeah, $25 million. He goes, what? It blew his mind when I put the number with it.
The number would be $25 million.
And by the way, I don't think Trey was very complimentary to us.
I don't think – well, Trey's always complimentary.
He said we're always professional.
Yeah.
That's the only part
So Trey's been drinking.
Yeah, because last week Fred was offending all kinds of people with his.
That's a big cap number. I mean, I'm not.
That's big.
I know I always poo-poo the cap. That's a big cap number for anybody.
And with Brady, is Brady at 18? Did I say that?
Something like that.
So that's $43 million out of a buck 35.
But you could do it.
For two guys.
You could do it and not be, you know, forced to, like, get rid of the rest of your team. There are ways to
May. Well, we started it. Mayo,
there are ways to do it.
A shave from $6.5 million. I'm sorry, that's not going to be your salary if you want to be here. Amendola, you're just flat out gone. Nate Solder is at 7.5 on his, if you extend
him. Okay, but now Nate Solder, you take Nate Solder out. I mean, obviously you can lower the number, but he's a guy that you need to figure out because someone's got to play left tackle.
Oh, I would extend him.
Right.
I think they love him. I think they're going to extend him.
The other two things that you mentioned are things that, well, that doesn't really, I mean, those are things that are going to happen. Like,
right.
Amendola is going to be gone next year, I think, anyway.
Right.
So it's not like, oh, we had, but that's the way that it'll get portrayed. Oh, yeah, you can keep Revis if you want to cut Mayo and you want to cut Amendola. A lot of these things are things that are going to happen, whether they keep Revis at $25 million on the cap
no,
or not.
But they can't do all that and pay Revis. So they have to do some mechanism.
No, but they're not going to pay Gerard Mayo a $10.5 million cap number next year coming
anyway,
off two season-ending injuries.
Anyway.
But it's got nothing to do with
they
Revis's cap number is my point.
At all. They would never do that because it's terrible value.
No, I understand that. But, you know, in order to sign Revis, you got to look for places. And, yes, they would have probably done something with Mayo anyway, but that's a place where you look. You know, that's where you can get some relief.
Right, but it's not really related to Revis. It's
no,
related
it isn't.
To bad value. That's why you're right. making it.
But you're lucky you have that place to look.
You're lucky you signed him to a terrible contract.
Garland writes in, I know people are a bit worried about the Packers' passing attack, but they really don't have the weapons that Denver has, as well as some of the teams the Patriots have played. I don't really see them lighting it up against us.
Why?
Now, Green Bay does have a large running back, and that's where the real test will be for this defense. Do you think we'll see more Alan Branch in this game?
Possibly. Probably some.
Well, he has been playing more.
What was he this
week?
He was like 12.
I'm going to look it up in the game.
Last week?
He's been playing more each week, and I don't think that you're going to see a big time spike because I think that there's still a passing team.
Right.
Why can I not find Alan Branch?
I don't know.
28 plays this week, 35%.
That's a spike.
Okay. I think that's what you're looking at, though, for him. I don't think you're going to go, what'd you say, 12 the week before?
12 or 15.
I don't think you're doubling them again to the
50s. No, God, no.
Because I don't think this is a team that wants to run the ball.
Unless you got the paddles ready. But, clear.
In terms of the offense, I don't know if it's as diverse as some of the other things, but they score more than everybody else.
The productivity
they're number
is there.
Two behind us, right?
Yeah.
In scoring?
But as I said to Fred, like he said, is this the best offense they face? Well, we thought the Broncos were until we faced them. So you can't compare foresight and hindsight.
And I still think the Broncos have, I mean, like, that's one of those things. I didn't change my opinion. That seems to be what we have to do is belittle the other team. I still think the Broncos have a good offense.
But Rodgers
is so much
better. I think
the Patriots played well
better.
That day.
Like, Rodgers is just so good.
Well, I think he has
the ability.
His ability
to run, his ability right. to not throw picks,
yes.
just the whole thing.
He's a complete quarterback in this league. He's the guy.
And at home, he's a different animal even than on the road. I mean,
right. Yep.
He hasn't thrown – how many games is it now?
2 years.
2 years. He hasn't thrown a pick at home.
The troll in Louisville, Kentucky, says to the in-house guru that's part-time jackass.
Is that Skip?
That sounds like me.
Yep. I'm glad to see
– wait a minute. I'm a full-time jackass.
I thought it was me.
I'm glad to see you're done complaining about Brandon Browner. He simply needed some time coming off suspension. Your impatient ass needed to pull out of him and give him a couple of games to be what he is.
First of all, I was never in him, so I didn't need to pull
out.
But
this is what I was alluding to about 20 minutes ago. Like, now you were wrong because he played a great game on Sunday, and you said he played a great game on Sunday.
Yep.
Doesn't mean that you were wrong a month ago.
Right. No, I know I'm not. He did not play a great game against the Colts. He was not good against the Colts. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Fred? Fred?
I don't know. I don't know enough about the game plan.
He was matched up with Kobe Fleener and gave up a career high in yards.
Yeah, some of it was a zone thing.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't always him.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
You're such a fraud.
I read some columns.
You are such a fraud.
I read some blogs.
Let me guess. They were from Patriots beat writers.
I read some blogs that said that after looking at the tape, it wasn't all his fault. Paul from Portland, Oregon. Pool. You have to admit, Amendola's 60-something yard return was phenomenal to watch.
81 yards.
Did anyone notice another return where a defender came right up to his face? I mean, within a distance of an arm, and Amendola never signaled for a fair catch.
Yeah.
That defensive player could have easily laid him out. I was shocked to see Amendola not signal for a fair catch and make his way out of that tackle for positive gain. However, that seemed like a very bad call on Amendola's part and could have been quite costly.
I think he's been very bad with his decision making on punt returns.
Yeah.
Very bad.
And that was in the next one he was not back for. Edelman went back for him after that one. That was a terrible decision by him.
Now, why were they doing that? Was the wind an issue?
I don't know.
Because they did the, because Amendola was the up back and Edelman was the deep back two or three different times, and I didn't know what the situation.
Yeah, I probably should ask Bill in the conference call yesterday.
Let's go to the phone because Sam in Chicago wants to talk about the Jonas Gray bet. Hey, Sam.
What's up, guys? Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Yes.
How you guys doing?
Did you deliver food to the stadium under Jonas Gray's name?
And I tried. I'm sorry, but I called CBSC, and they seemed to know where you guys were. I said, could you deliver to Paul Perillo? They're like, oh, yeah, building E2. Apparently that's a little far away from you guys.
Yes.
Apologies. For future reference.
You really didn't have to do that. Did you really do that?
What, did food just come for us?
Well, I got an email in-house here from someone that said there's food from Jonas Gray for you at the desk. And I showed it to Andy, and that's my only thought was that Sam actually had this delivered.
I did.
Well, thanks, Sam. Can we refrigerate it and eat it tomorrow?
You bet. Do whatever you like. Yeah, bring
Hell
it
yeah.
Well, that's hilarious. Yeah. That's hilarious.
For sure.
He only came 80 yards short.
I know.
Missed it by that much.
I heard that he missed his alarm. I was like, oh, boy, of all the coaches.
Right.
Great. Yep. There goes my credit card.
You just shot to the top of the all-time list right there.
You're the best, Sam.
Hey, have a happy Thanksgiving, guys.
You too. Thanks, Sam. Sam at Chicago.
I will now. I got plenty
through.
To eat.
Poor Sam's not going to have a turkey for Thanksgiving because he had to buy Paul lunch.
Remember that toy you wanted?
Well, Paul Perillo ate it.
How long with everything else? Thought it'd save you the trouble.
Let's see. Brian writes in, the interception that shouldn't have counted, he says.
I agree.
I'm curious about your thoughts on the interception.
He's such a fraud.
I'm curious about your thoughts on the interception that should have been overturned since Gronk was clearly being held in the exact same fashion as Brandon Browner versus a tight end in the end zone.
Worse. Way worse.
During the Broncos game. And I've seen so many people mention the interception but haven't brought up the fact that Gronk was clearly being held. I'm also curious, and not that I think there was any bias, but how did the refs, who called virtually everything, except a hold on Gronk, of course, miss two punches to a defensive lineman's face?
Well, I don't know about that.
Additionally, how was that not finable? Is punching players permissible?
I think those punches are going to get fined.
I thought they said they weren't.
I thought they said the cut block on Raiola wasn't going to get fined.
Oh. Yeah, who was it? Phil Perry, I think, did a very exhaustive research into Raiola's day and had all the little Vine video of everything he's
done.
But
I'm wrong about those Patriots beat writers.
really?
That was the top of your to-do list on Monday?
If you want to hear somebody complain about that interception, follow at Jumbo Hart on Twitter. I was all over it right from the get-go.
Definitely
a penalty.
It was
horse poo.
Definitely,
they called it on Chung in the end zone for grabbing Fourier.
Yeah, I thought
this
was
assault. This was worse. How it was different.
No, it wasn't. I like this one.
This is Hack-a-Shack, Fred. They're letting them hack Gronkowski. This is Hack-a-Shack,
right.
And they shouldn't stand for
it. I wrote that it was payback. The league is paying back for his behavior the week before, you know, throwing Sergio Brown and dancing and all that stuff.
Really?
So
what
does
the league want?
They were allowing things to go on.
So the league wants people to not talk to the media like Marshawn Lynch because they found it very funny when they tweeted out his yas and I don't knows and whatever. So the league needs to decide what they want. Like they used to want big hits to put on big hit videos until they realized big hits led to concussions and then, oh, got to get rid of the big hit video. We want jacked up. Oh, that's the highest rated segment. Oh, get jacked up off. What does the league want? They want everything and nothing at all.
Okay.
They're an embarrassment.
I like the comparison to the Browner one on Demaryius Thomas in the end zone. Fred, that's the one that we all argued on at the time in the Denver game.
Yeah, this one was much more flaky.
He touched him and turned him a little bit.
Right.
And I thought that the similarities, this was definitely a penalty on Gronk coming across. I thought the guy had him, hooked him on the arm. Chung grabbed his shirt.
Right.
This
right.
was different. This one, he had his arm around Gronk's back.
He was all over him.
But I thought that the difference was Gronk is so big, He didn't really get spun like Demaryius Thomas did.
Yeah.
But it's a penalty. It's
riding on his back through
the
air.
I do too. I agree with you. I thought it was a penalty.
It was disgraceful.
And Fred and I, unlike Andy, Fred and I actually have some, you know.
Whoa. Fred suddenly has credibility?
Fred's a very impartial observer.
I am.
When he agrees with me, he's very impartial.
Yeah.
You guys were laughing at me, but I know what I'm watching out there.
No, you don't. Not always.
Well, there was a holding call, I think, on Solder that you went apoplectic on.
Oh, yeah.
He absolutely grabbed him by the shoulders.
Pulled him down.
Ripped him down, and somehow you didn't think it was a hold.
Hands were inside. He was good.
And I do want
to
get...
his hands were holding on to the guy.
The Vollmer hands to the face, which I asked Paul. I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, I didn't really see that, but I heard... I was
he
listening.
Punched him.
Well, they said... Aikman said that was weak.
Aikman was weak.
Oh.
I think that call is horrific and shouldn't be called 95% of the time. I turn to Paul, I go, unless you punch him in the face, don't call it. And then I watched the replay, and his initial punch, you know that pass set punch?
Right.
Both hands went right up to his face. It was like he aimed at the face.
The guy from the Lions got called for not even getting him in the face mask, getting him underneath. He said, in the neck.
Hands to the face. Well, actually the chin.
Actually the chin. I'm like, I mean, now you can't, you, he didn't
control
get him.
Control the head, control the body.
He didn't get him in the face mask, but you get him
again,
under fit.
What do you want, league? Do you want a violent game that is violent by nature, or do you want to put flags on him and have the wussification?
I think you can have both.
Let's get rid of cut blocks. You can't touch him anywhere near the head. Are you going to go back to the days like this where you had your elbows and forearms out for blocking?
No, then you get called for elbowing.
Good Christ. I actually don't. I've seen it on videos.
That's what the old electric football. Right.
But they actually
like
used to do that in football.
Oh, yeah. In the 50s, they did that.
I know. I don't know when it was.
Did you hear Fisher? He was mad at the refs, Jeff Fisher. And it was
did
a,
you hear
it,
Fisher?
It was a field goal, and they called the Rams for lining up in the neutral zone, and he said, I don't understand how that can happen because we interlock our legs on field goal. And I thought that was interesting, that that's what they do.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
That's very common.
I've never heard that.
That eliminates the gaps.
Interlock, wouldn't you trip?
No, but it eliminates the – I could see how you'd have to practice to get it down.
Yeah, but you don't really move.
I know. I understand. It's a quick play.
They just
play.
Lean
it's like
forward.
A, it's like right. a second play. Yeah.
But I do think it would feel weird.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty common special teams
practice. Oh, all the time, yeah. And I don't really understand why.
So I was wondering, is that why Eric plays special teams? All right.
it's funny. I was thinking of a Michael Sam joke.
Andre writes in, I can't wait to see the game. It should be another comfortable win, he says.
Wow, now they're just getting cocky, Fred.
Yeah, I still don't see why everyone is so high on Green Bay. I can see why people think it's going to be a good game. It's at Green Bay, and Rodgers is great. But Andy... you're like the fifth person who said this was a Super Bowl preview. Don't fall for the trap. They have lost to
I said I picked this Super Bowl in the summer.
They don't fall for the trap. They have lost to every good team they played. 36-16 at Seahawks, 19-7 at Detroit. Then it was relax, and then they started rolling over everybody except for a few weeks later. He goes to New Orleans. He gets crushed 44-23. This is not a Super Bowl preview. They'll lose to either the 49ers again or the Cowboys or Seahawks. And P.S., who would you have on your rather have on your team, Gronk or Watt? Oh, definitely Gronk.
Gronk.
Yeah.
But I'd love to have Watt, too.
Yeah, because you know my feelings.
You know, I know
doesn't
that,
matter.
I know
matter.
That Green Bay has lost more recently, but, you know, you can say the same thing about the Patriots, right? Even some of their wins, 16-9 with the Raiders. Then they got, you know, they got killed by the.
Well,
Chiefs.
I was on Comcast on Friday.
So you can't look at it that way.
Comcast on Friday, their whole plan was: there's nobody good in the AFC. Eliminate everybody, and they had a chart of the reason to eliminate them.
I think the AFC's
and
better
the Bengals
the AFC.
Were eliminated because the Patriots blew them out in Week 5. And I go, well, how come the Patriots aren't eliminated because the Chiefs blew
right.
them out?
You have
in week
to look
four.
At how they're playing, like last three games, really. You know,
it's stupid, but I do think that statement of they're going to roll and blow out the Packers. I think that's more pompous right now than saying the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl. I think there's a better chance the Patriots go to the Super Bowl than they blow out the Packers.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to blow them out, but I'm not overly concerned about winning this game on Sunday. The difference, Fred, that you're overlooking with that the guy's point is the Patriots have beaten Denver. They've beaten Indianapolis. They've beaten some good teams. Green Bay, what? Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Is that their best win? I mean, who have they beaten? You know, and I know it was a long time ago, so I don't want to compare the Detroit games because they played, it was the that was the relaxed game.
Right.
So that was, you know, that would be like saying if Green Bay had beaten Kansas City, well, they beat Kansas City. You couldn't beat Kansas City. I mean, Green Bay beat Miami. There's one that they actually did beat.
Yeah.
They beat Miami. The Patriots didn't beat Miami, but it's irrelevant because right. that was a different team that the Patriots right. lost to Miami.
And 100 degrees ago.
And yeah, hopefully it won't be warm in Arizona when the Super Bowl because we'll have no chance.
Based on last time, it won't be.
It's indoors.
It was freaking frigid last time.
It'll be hot. Hopefully it won't be warm then.
Remember, it poured and then it was cold.
I know.
That's why I hope this time when we're there, it's nicer. It's more.
So the Patriots, I love that. When we're there, love it.
I'm on board, Fred.
See, I don't really see how you look at it.
Have you
way.
Missed? Have you missed my slogan? It's Super Bowl and bust because Katy Perry is performing. So I get it all. I get big boobs and a big game.
Yeah, they beat Miami.
That's how you write it if you're not a sponsor. Big boobs and a big game.
They beat Miami and Philadelphia. Those are their best two wins. And the Patriots have, you know, I think Cincinnati is a better win than those. I think Denver. I think Indianapolis. I think those are better wins.
Okay. Fred doesn't know how to handle when I'm predicting Super Bowls and you're predicting the Patriots to be good.
And
he's he's at a loss over there.
And instead of talking up the other team, I'm
now
thrashing.
He's going to downplay the 0-4 Patriots now. That's his what he resorts to.
And I think Green Bay's good. This isn't one of, again,
I do
this
too.
Is another win that I'm not going to tell you after the game. That's not a good team. I even think Detroit's still good, even though they were thoroughly bad on Sunday. I think Detroit's better than they played on Sunday.
Well, they certainly showed in the second half that their defense, you know, they settled down and they figured out the Patriots. Only 10
they
points.
Did what you can't. They did what you can't do in Foxborough. There's like a
fall behind.
There's a checklist of things that you can't do. You can't settle for field goals,
and
they settled for field goals. You can't hand them points, and they handed them an 81-yard kickoff return. You can't fall behind in Foxborough and expect. They did all the things that you would say going in, and then oh by the way, they top it off. They miss a field goal and allow the Patriots to get a field goal. That whole thing, if they had not missed the field goal, they probably wouldn't have allowed the field goal.
Right.
So they did all the things that you do when you lose to the Patriots at Foxborough.
Francis from Ottawa, hey, PFW men and Eric, can't be all hate towards him. I feel like this team is one of the most balanced teams we've had in years. Offense clicks, O-line's finally stout, and not since the 3 Super Bowls have we seen a good defense like this. So Jets say, let's say for discussion, that we make it through the rest of the season with no major injuries and they end up either losing in the playoffs or in the Super Bowl, what would you say would be the biggest reason for that? What would be the one weak link on this seemingly balanced team?
Run defense.
Maybe, or penalties. You know.
Oh, penalties, definitely.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, these penalties could cost you.
Yeah,
I don't know if I have a reason. But
wait, did he say injuries? Were injuries allowed?
He said no,
if
they're healthy.
Okay.
Yeah.
If they lose in the playoffs, it's going to be because the offense doesn't play well. I don't know if you – I mean, Andy has a good specific run defense and penalties and stuff, but if the Patriots do what they've done in the playoffs in the last 5 years and when they get knocked out and only score in the teens, they're going to get
knocked
out.
Maybe it's because they can't run really when they just want to run.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, to me it will come down to can they score.
I knew you wouldn't agree with that one.
Can they score? Well, I don't think they can run when they want to run. So then
that
would be me saying that I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. Well, I think they are.
No, but if you go up against Seattle and Seattle has a good game, you know, with their secondary, that could be
Seattle
a
can't
factor.
Score. That's everybody only looks at one side.
I know, but like if both teams can't score, it comes down to the last minute and the Giants win, and I can't get 07 out of my mind.
Yeah, but Seattle's not capable of doing what the Giants did that day in controlling the clock and the ball. I don't think they're
with Marshawn Lynch.
I don't think you're gonna be able to do that.
Okay,
they can't move the ball on offense.
And we are disrespecting the kicking game. I think this is one of the best complementary kicking games in all phases that this team has had, maybe since the championship years. I mean, look at all the different things they've done this year. Big kick returns, big punt returns, blocked field goals, you know, impressive plays out of Don Jones and Matthew Slater in coverage. I think this is, remember, they used to win games on special teams, or at least help win games on special teams.
Yep.
They feel like they have a little bit of that vibe back, too.
Yeah. Before Francis goes, he has a quick game regarding Sunday's game coming up. Aaron Rodgers, TDs, 2.5.
Over.
Under. They might get blown out. I'm gonna say over just because it might be some window dressing.
Jonas Gray, touches, 4.5.
Over.
Yeah, I think both of these guys are going to get worked in this
game. I'll say over.
Yeah. Passes completed against Revis, 3.5.
Over.
LeGarrette Blount TDs, 1.5.
Under.
Brady passing yards, 300.
Over.
And combined points, 50.
Over.
Okay.
Good game.
Bill from Manhattan, I do not think that there has been a Patriots team since 01 with better chemistry than this current team. It shows up on both sides of the ball. Once again, we have to give Bill the GM credit for assembling a championship-caliber team. It is as clear as day that the offensive line is actually better without Mankins. As good as Mankins was, there were times where he was constantly exposed throughout the course of a game. Trading Mankins has allowed the other linemen to take more ownership and elevate their play. Also, the loss of Jerod Mayo may have been a blessing in disguise for the younger linebackers, Hightower and Collins. It has allowed them to step up and show their versatility. They are all over the field and playing like a couple of all-pros. If everyone can stay healthy, especially on defense, Revis, Collins, Hightower, Wilfork, this team will steamroll through the rest of the season in the playoffs and end up in the Super Bowl. It is so exciting to finally watch a Patriots defense that can finally get stops and get off the field. That's MIT football, Bill.
Well, it's a little overly positive for me on the whole Mayo and Mankins angle, but I agree with the last part.
Yeah, I don't agree with the offensive line being better, but other than that, I don't nothing to argue with. I think Hightower has been better than Mayo was. I think he's playing at an extremely high level.
Mads writes in, I've been a Patriots fan since 98 when I received a Patriots hat from my older brother when I was a kid. He wanted a Raiders hat instead because it looked better. I was clearly the most fortunate of us. Have surprised the team since, and it was amazing to watch games live when I became older. I want to say something regarding Marshawn Lynch and his behavior towards the media. He acts like a complete scumbag and as a bad role model. Doesn't he understand what the reporters want? Their job is to give information to the fans about their favorite teams and their favorite players. I don't think he really knows who is really paying his salary. It's the fans, and they are the reason for him being a wealthy man today and maybe even the reason of him having a job. But hey, Andy, maybe he is training for the future police interrogation he will have after his career. Wow.
Well, I agree.
You know what? I don't think fans care, though. That's the thing.
Oh, I think.
Do you really care if Marshawn Lynch talks?
I'm not a good barometer.
I think
Andy's right. I think fans do care. I don't.
I think
general fans do care.
I think they do.
I think after a loss or a bad game, you want the coach or somebody to speak because you're upset and you want to hear some accountability.
I think they want to
feel a
connection.
But a guy like Marshawn Lynch, what do you need to hear him talk?
I think they
want to
feel a connection.
You watch him run over people, and that's why you're a fan of him.
And they know, and then they want to feel a connection. They want to feel
See,
a connection.
I don't think
to
a lot
player.
Of people are like me and you.
Well, you're also 40 somethings. I think fans
Thank
includes.
You.
I've never cared what anybody has to say.
And 50 somethings. I think fans
I
that
think
are in their teens and in the 20s, there are younger people who want to feel a connection. It's why all these stupid players try to create all these different ways that athletes and fans can interact directly. We don't need the media. You're admitting by doing that that you know fans want to interact with you, and none of those have taken hold. None of those have worked from what I've seen. Maybe you know more, Fred. Derek Jeter's got one now, right? They all want to start these ways that players can interact with fans directly.
Well, I think social media. I think that's why these guys have hundreds of thousands of followers on
right.
Twitter.
But the most common way is still the media. It's still the press. It's still written
on
TV.
I think all this other stuff is making the media less relevant.
Well, it's taking a piece of the pie. I still think the biggest piece of the pie is the media.
Yeah.
I think there's a much smaller chunk of the pie that gets their information
I think
about
that,
their team.
I think sports is unique in that, unlike politics or straight news, the evidence is on the field of what's going on. They play the game and you can figure out what's going on with the team. You don't need the media as much. And now teams have, you can watch the press conference live. You don't need someone to, transcribe it or interpret it for you. You've got social media to follow your favorite player.
Yeah, but you just said you can watch it live. So I can watch him be a DB live.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. But you don't.
I think
need
you're
the,
making Andy's
you don't
point.
Need
right.
the media.
I don't really understand.
You don't need the media to tell
but
you.
I don't care who he's telling it to.
It's talking.
He's being an a-hole.
We're talking about him talking, not the media.
Right.
We're talking.
I
about
think
him
fans
talking.
Want to. Their favorite player is Marshawn Lynch, Mr. Skittles, Mr. Touchdowns, yeah. Mr. Beast Mode, and they want to hear what he has to say. Just like they want to hear Gronk say "Yo Soy Fiesta."
Well,
they want to hear Gronk.
Does Lynch have a social media account?
I have no idea.
You're really clouding this issue. You asked if you thought that fans cared if he talked.
Right.
I think you and I are in a distinct minority that we don't
to
care.
The media.
No. Talk. I don't
to
care.
The fan.
I don't care.
Somehow
who
get from mouth to fan.
When Bill Belichick is doing his press conference that people are watching, they don't look at it as him doing his press conference with the media. He's talking to them.
That's
right.
What I mean. You don't need the media.
Marshawn
anymore.
Lynch is doing that too. He's talking to
and,
the
and
fans.
And he's saying, yes.
Yeah. I don't care what coaches
no.
or players. I've never cared what coaches and players. I have. Like Andy said, like if Marshawn Lynch is just my favorite guy because I think he's cool and he's banging into people and running over people and eating Skittles on the sideline, I think he's cool. I don't care about talking to him.
But you're in the minority.
But I started the whole thing with that. I am in a distinct minority. Most people, I think, want to hear from Bill Belichick after the game. They want to hear what he has to say. I mean, our numbers show that on Patriots.com. That's one of the most watched things that we have.
And that's the other thing. You said, okay, these athletes have hundreds of thousands of people on Twitter. You think that's all their fans? You think that Marshawn Lynch
no.
only has 100,000 fans or 200,000? He has millions of fans in the greater Seattle and global area. He's a popular sort of unique player because of the Skittles and because of that run a couple of years ago that put him on the map.
Yeah, I don't think people have any sympathy for the media when the media complains that people.
I think you're
talk.
Missing the
I
point.
I don't know why you think
it's
this
not
is a
about
media
the media.
Thing.
It's
this
about a guy being
to
an a-hole.
With the media.
To me, it's about the media. It's
not about the media.
The guy just told you it's not about the media. He wants to hear from players. Whether it goes through the media or not, he wants to hear his favorite players talk.
Yeah.
And this guy is
you
an a-hole.
You asked me if I cared if he talked. I don't care if he talked. I'm talking about a fan. I'm a fan now.
Right.
I don't care if he talks to me as a media guy.
Well, I do
I'm
because I
about,
think you're being an a-hole. That's a separate
about
issue, though.
Talking
yeah. I think
in
part
general.
Of the job when you take an NFL contract, a $9 billion organization, some percentage of that value is based on the media promoting your product every single day.
But do you think that the Seattle Seahawks fans are mad at Marshawn Lynch for
I think
not,
some are.
For not talking to the media?
I think they want to hear from him.
I think some aren't. I don't think they
First
are.
First of all, if he talked to them, he wouldn't care about him not talking to the media. They want to hear from
oh,
him,
yeah.
and the only way they can do that is if he talks to the media.
Oh, if he said, I'm
not
talking
not
to the media
issue.
Anymore, but I'm going to hold a rally every Friday night
exactly.
at the local high school,
they'd
we'll
be
fill the football stadium,
they'd be
and you guys can ask questions town hall style, they would have no care in the world. And guess what? Neither would reporters, because reporters would just quote him off that.
Right.
Well,
But the fact is, he was an a-hole the other night, and I disagree. I think that guy said he's acting like an a-hole. I think he's a bad human being. I think he is a punk.
Well,
that
he might be.
Is.
Yeah,
I think he is a bad guy. And I do believe, and I've said this before, I've said this about Bill Belichick, I think a portion of your paycheck, part of your job, is to talk to the media as the conduit of information. Still, the bulk of the information between coach or player and fan is the media. Nothing else has latched on to take the middleman out of the process, right? Am I right there? Nothing has overtaken general media to getting the information from the mouth of
that's my point. I think.
I don't think it has.
I think the team is now... in a lot of ways, taken the media out of the mix and gone directly to the fans.
How?
By putting Bill Belichick live on Patriots.com.
Who asks him the questions?
You don't have that
Who
without
the
media.
Who asks him the questions?
He
Who asks him the questions?
He doesn't stand there and give an oration.
We could have a sit-down.
Who asks him the questions?
We could have a coach's show. You know, you don't even need the media. We have in
right.
Other words,
so who's going to host the show?
Who's doing the show?
But there was a time.
Who's going to host that
listen,
show?
There was a time when teams needed the media because that was the platform to get info out.
And you they still do, by the way.
You don't.
Yes, they do.
Really? Not really.
Yeah, I just don't understand.
Do.
What do you think?
We have
if
our
you're
own
doing?
Websites. We have our own social.
First
accounts.
Of all, we play from a position of power in New England. The we you're talking about.
That's true.
I'd like you to take your little business model to Jacksonville and Oakland and some of these other places and see if you're playing from quite the position of power.
Plus, I'd like you to stand Bill Belichick in front of a camera by himself
right.
and not
say
have any questions
want,
and then see what kind of message you get.
See what he says.
He needs the media to be asking him questions.
I just think that
John Rook, you believe this guy trying to run the media out of town? Asinine.
Look,
it's not even
about
the
media.
I'm
a big proponent of the journalism, but I am.
I'm a big proponent of journalism.
But
we don't practice.
Ironically,
I'm not. There is less need in sports than in the past the teams have for the media than they did in the past. Yeah, they relied on the media in the past.
I still think most fans get the bulk of their information and quotes and everything through a media source. I think the general population does. I think the whole Twitter and face and is a small percentage of the whole overall
pie. Oh, yeah,
but
you know, these guys do the shows on the radio stations that they have their weekly appearances. But Tom Brady on WEI, that's media.
But in the past, you as a fan were dependent on the media to interpret things for you.
And you still are.
Well, no, maybe you can watch Bill Belichick live. You don't have to.
But you're dependent on the media to get
to
the information.
To ask the questions.
Right.
And, you know, they don't even ask the questions here. But you don't. But
shot at the media.
It's like,
but you don't have to rely on the media to interpret things.
Okay,
they're not the.
You're right.
They're not
the media.
The
did not need to interpret the one word responses that Marshawn
they're
Lynch
was
giving.
They're not the gatekeepers. Right.
There was nothing to interpret.
I actually disagree with that. I actually think the media does influence the way people think.
Oh, greatly.
Of
absolutely.
Course they do.
Absolutely.
He couldn't be more
hugely
wrong on this.
Hugely. You know, I think people tune into the media to see how they're supposed to feel.
Yep. Because most of them don't know how they're supposed to feel.
No, that's exactly right.
In sports?
You don't think Felger influences how people feel?
He does.
I mean, he's the first guy they go to after the game. Then they listen to him for 20 hours a
God
week
during
us. The week.
God help us.
Yes, that is
Fred,
part of it.
I don't disagree with that. That's,
God
that's
help
absolutely
us.
Right. But that's I really believe that the media.
How about us?
The media is, yeah, that's
we
also true.
We influence people.
But I
absolutely.
Think,
absolutely.
I think Felger and their entertainment more than information.
That's
but
also
sports
true.
Is entertainment.
Sports is entertainment, and it's also information. It's one of the, it's both.
Yeah.
It's both. It's
I think the WWE
both.
Has had it right forever. Sports entertainment.
You
that
can,
is what
you can,
everything is. It's
you
sports
can get all the information you need
except
by going
for that
direct
stuff is scripted.
To the...
But the same idea is you want to have a visual and then people talking about it, interpreting it, storylines.
The
it's
WWE
all a soap
has
opera.
Been way ahead of the curve
right.
for many, many, many years.
The NFL is a soap opera.
Professional wrestling has been right. way ahead of the curve. They stopped talking about it being sports back in the 70s
right.
when the Von Erichs were still out there wrestling, you know? So
the only difference...
They knew it was a show.
Is it's not
they
fixed.
Never pretended it was anything other than a show.
Correct. The only difference is it's not fixed in the NFL.
Correct.
Still a soap opera. There's good guys. There's
so
bad guys. There.
So we think.
Okay, you guys want to take it a place. I don't want to go on Patriots.com.
We have to get going. John, you got the playbook coming up?
Yes, sir.
All right. What's going on there?
Eric Franz will be with us in the second hour. We're going to do a special little simulcast with a Milwaukee radio station in the opening, actually in the second half hour of the program. My son, who you guys are familiar with, actually does a talk show on Tuesdays on the Milwaukee student station there. And so he and his partner, Max, we're going to kind of do a little bit of a simulcast for
excellent.
About 15 or 20 minutes in the opening hour because they're all about the Packers kicking the Patriots you-know-what.
All right.
Well,
love
guess
it.
What? All these fans are saying it's going to be an easy win for the Patriots.
Woo!
That should be
fun then.
That's
should
a good
be,
two
should
hours
be fun
coming
then.
Up.
Wait, what about nitpicking?
And then,
oh, yeah, and we'll do that.
Yeah.
What do you got? Give me one.
One?
What's your main nitpick?
10 points in the second half.
Ooh. All right.
Yeah.
And
the offense is fading.
and then get your 4 o'clock fantasy fix after that. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.